It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Man, this is going to be an extra special show. Mike Elkin joins us all the way from Tbilisi, Georgia. And then in studio, Father Robert Ballas here. And for the first time ever, live next to me. So she can punch me anytime she wants to. Stacey Higginbotham. Lots to talk about. Stay tuned. Twig is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly, CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 428, recorded Wednesday, October 25th, 2017. The Jesuit Party House. This Week in Google is brought to you by Blue Bottle Coffee. Get fresh, high-quality, delicious coffee delivered right to your door. Visit bluebottlecoffee.com/twig for your free trial of Blue Bottle Coffee. And by Felix Gray. Give your eyes the break they deserve with Felix Gray glasses. Their lenses filter blue light and eliminate glare from screens without the telltale yellow tint or color distortion of other computer glasses. I love them. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/twig to try out a pair today. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/twig. It's time for Twig This Week in Google. This is going to be kind of an interesting show because... Stacey Higginbotham's in studio with us. Oh, I'm so excited. From Stacey on IoT.com and the IoT podcast, Giga Stacey.
I'm ready with my fist.
You can actually hit me now.
It's going to be great.
But it's so nice to see you. We've never met.
That's true.
Which is weird because we've done the show together. You've been doing it for more than a year now, right?
And I actually came not just to see you, but also to see Karsten.
Yeah, you've been working with him.
It's like a friendly voice over the line.
Anyway, welcome. It's nice. It's great. You're out for an event, the ARM event.
ARM TechCon this week.
Yeah.
I gave a talk.
Oh, really? What'd you talk about?
The Internet of Things, of course.
Your expertise. We have a few things to show, actually.
I'm excited.
I got the new Invoke speaker, the Harman Kardon Hey Cortana speaker, which is so silly. And I got my Sonos, my new Sonos One.
Ooh, that Kevin loves that.
Does he?
He does.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then I think we have another show and tell because Father Robert's here. He always has a few.
Karsten actually told me that this was Know How.
So no. He's the host of Know How and This Week in Enterprise Tech, the digital Jesuit himself, Father Robert Ballaser. Good to see you.
This is part of my Twit Pokemon tour. I'm trying to host them all.
I see you. I see you all the time, of course, around the studio, but we don't host that many shows together every once in a while on new screensavers. So it's nice to have you here. Thank you. Yeah, you should host. There's no show you shouldn't be on. Your knowledge is so wide-ranging. There's no show you couldn't be on.
I think the word for that is polygeek. I'm a polygeek.
You're a polygeek.
Yeah.
Polywantageek. And all the way from Tbilisi, Georgia, Mike Elkin's with us from gastronomad.net.
Yes. Yep, here in the deep in the heart of the South. No, not actually. We're close to Turkey, Russia, etc.
You cannot participate fantastic. In what we are about to do.
No.
I'm not.
Oh, thank goodness.
Is this left over from All About Android last night?
Yeah,
it is, and it looked awful on that show. So
this is the mystery Oreo flavor. I see it all over our Twitter. Have you tried these yet?
I don't eat Oreos.
Oh, you're just a cop-out.
Oh, wait. No, that's a cop-out.
Oh,
man. No, they're so nasty.
Well, some of them are not, some of the flavors have been absolutely phenomenal.
Apparently, this one's really... So the idea is they don't tell you what the flavor is. And, oh, I see.
No, the idea is they had a bunch of cream left over in the vat. And so
guess
just
the
put
flavor
it in
for a chance to win $50,000. So you haven't tried these yet?
I have not.
Nor have I. Now, I've been told you need to smell before you eat it.
I will try one.
Whoa. Really?
I will not. I mean,
just sniff it.
Yes,
you can at least smell it.
I know exactly what that.
It's a double stuff.
Like. No, this smells like a children's cereal, like
Fruit Loops.
Oh, I don't know if I want that.
Oh,
on
it
my
smells
cookies.
Just like Fruit Loops.
I don't want to eat a fruit tasting.
All right,
cookie.
So I'm sorry, Mike. You're left out of this. I'm going to eliminate this because I know this is chocolate, right? I don't want to eat the wafer, just the creamy filling. They don't still make this at a shortening, do they?
Is it lime? Is there an answer on the back?
That's definitely Fruit Loops.
Oh,
Yeah, that was how I...
Like, no.
My little mouse size.
No. Here you go.
That's
for you.
Father Robert Gay. Wow.
That's horribly bad.
We'll get you some water. So the grand prize, where there are two ways to enter, text mystery to 595.
There is no winner with that thing.
26 and follow the link to submit your guess, or go to oreomystery.com and submit your guess. And I don't know how you would do this, to enter without making a purchase or guessing the correct flavor is the official rule. So you don't even have to get it right to enter.
Wait, so we don't know what the flavor is unless we text them?
No, this will be a big unveiling.
Oh. Hey, Jammer B, can you grab me some of that manure then, so I can get the flavor out of my mouth?
I kind of like it.
Can I get a flamethrower and some coffee, please?
I know, that's nice.
Good.
You like it?
Yeah. Oh, good.
But I like Fruit Loops, too.
Okay, well,
I like Fruit Loops, but not between a cookie?
Yeah, not between a chocolate wafer.
Thank you, sir.
That's
you are
pretty
really
bad.
Awesome.
So the only way this ties into the show in any way is that the newest Android is Oreo. That's completely a flimsy justification.
It's been a great bit, though, because he's got enough Oreos for every week of the year. Mm. And some of those flavors sounded nasty, and they turned out to be quite good, actually.
Jason has 52 Oreos?
He bought a bunch. And all his guests who come in, they bring Oreos from around the world. I didn't know this. There's Oreos flavors that you can only buy in other countries.
Wow.
That is true.
Go figure.
This is definitely Fruit Loops.
I would really like a Tim Tam for, like, tea, and I would like that to come on.
What's a Tim Tam?
Oh, I think we have Tim Tams.
It's an Australian cookie.
Can you get her some?
I mean,
do we have any
them.
Tim Tams left over?
I'm
Australians bring us Tim Tams all the time. So, you know, the only thing that would confirm this is...
It's a biscuit with a chocolate coating, and they come in
All right.
They're delicious.
Who owns Fruit Loops? That's what would confirm this.
Kellogg's.
Is that a Nabisco brand?
Oh. Aren't they all? Actually, we've got someone from the U.S. Patent and Trade Office.
He doesn't.
He could probably tell us
into
exactly
pharmaceuticals.
What's in
this. Oh, I guess that's the same thing.
This is a pharmaceutical, is it not?
Ooh, it ought to be. It ought to be regulated like one.
You're definitely changing my feelings, and a little dry mouth happening right now.
There you go.
Mike, can you get us any specific Oreo flavors from Russia and Turkey?
No.
They taste like sadness.
He can, but he won't.
Can. Exactly. they actually have all kinds of really awesome cookies here that do not taste like Fruit Loops. I'll bring some of those. How about that? I'll bring some non-Australian, non-flim-flams or whatever they're called. And you'll love them.
I heard in Moscow you can buy caviar Oreos. I'm thinking those are probably pretty good.
Sounds delicious.
So Kellogg's is a direct competitor.
It is.
To Nabisco.
So it's not Fruit Loop flavored. Huh.
Okay, so maybe tricks. This is a patent tricks? And trade office thing. I think someone just stole a recipe.
This is Mondelez.
Leo is actually entering the contest.
Mondelez.
Right now.
Is that how you pronounce it?
That's how you pronounce it.
Why do they put the...
The Z is silent.
They put a bar over the E like E. It's supposed to be Mondelez.
No, it's Mondelez.
Mondelez would be the French pronunciation.
Mondelez? Wait, Mandelay?
Mondelez.
It was Mondelez. So it's Mondelez.
Should I write Fruit Loops?
I would go with lime, actually. I think they're lime or lemon.
I don't know. That really smelled like Fruit Loops.
Well, yeah.
Like that was early childhood Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you could enter twice.
By the way, Fruit Loops is spelled Froot, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it would be lie. It would be deceptive trade practice.
That's right.
You're one smart cookie. Thanks for submitting your daily guess, so you can guess as many times as you want.
Okay, then that kind of takes the challenge out of it.
Upload a receipt. While we can't help you eat the evidence, we sure could help you earn a bonus entry. Just upload a receipt showing your purchase or submit a photo. You know what? Okay.
Send them the show.
I actually want to complain about something.
Okay.
And it's T-Mobile.
Oh.
Do you watch baseball? You didn't watch the World Series last night. Did you? And I know, Mike, you probably couldn't get it.
I normally watch baseball, but I did. So, I'm not watching this series.
So Fox, which is broadcasting the World Series, game one was last night, has apparently sold 2-second or 3-second ads in the game. So this is during the play-by-play, which is, I'm telling you, I don't want to watch anymore. I'm so upset. And T-Mobile bought a lot of these. And so every batter, it seems like, texts something to T-Mobile to send $2 in hurricane relief to Puerto Rico, which I support, but instead I'm going to send them $100 instead of tweeting. So it's brilliant, though, because you get for $2, you get lots of tweets talking about T-Mobile. You get these ads in the middle of interrupting the biggest baseball game of the year. I was flabbergasted. But the best one is the. Did you see the YouTube ad?
Yes. That is brilliant. That is the best bit of trolling I have ever seen by a corporation.
So YouTube bought. You know they have those interchangeable banners behind the batter, right? And YouTube bought that thing behind the banner.
Oh, that is
awesome. How awesome is that?
Where does that play button show up? Where does the play button show up on the TV?
Incredible.
You're watching TV. You're watching the World Series. Where does the play button? Right in the middle of the screen where you're like, you're trying to tap it.
OCD meters around the world went off the scale because they're going, what's
awesome.
No, play, play.
This should be banned.
Really? I thought it was funny.
I thought it was very clever. Or I think it's, I didn't.
But you didn't have to watch this for 2.5 hours.
Well, that's true. So who's the demographic here? Because don't only old people watch baseball? Do young people watch baseball on television? That is a real question. I'm not trying
okay,
to
wait.
Be a jerk.
Mike, do you watch baseball?
No, but it has nothing to do with my age. I never watched sports ball of any kind. So
okay.
I watch baseball.
You don't have to have a punching machine to hurt me. Do young people not watch baseball anymore? Is it over for baseball? Maybe it is. God, that's sad.
Well, I mean, the thing about this is YouTube doesn't need to advertise. They've got brand recognition.
But I see what you're saying, Stacey. Like, what demographic is
yeah.
Who is this? In fact, when old people like me watch this, how would we even know that that's a YouTube button?
It kind of makes sense, though, because essentially lots of people are watching lots of things on YouTube, especially nowadays with the new YouTube features.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sports.
Yeah.
And who are they trying to get?
They don't need to get young
TV.
People. Young people know about YouTube.
But the young people are the only
people
ones
they don't already
get
have are watching TV. Yeah.
And remember, this is not an ad for YouTube in general. This is YouTube TV, which is their cable cutters.
My dad actually subscribes to this.
See?
So he can watch golf, another old person sport.
Wait. No, I know a lot of young people who play golf. Don't make that an ageist thing.
Not playing golf.
Scooter X says YouTube bought the tickets. If you bought a ticket for the World Series, YouTube was on the ticket.
So they spent a lot of money on that series.
Big bucks.
Well, maybe it's the only sport they can get. I mean,
but okay, aside from the fact that I think it's a brilliant trolling,
I just love that.
They didn't really need to do this, right?
And look at the size, everything.
What did they get out of
everything.
It?
They must have.
Yeah.
I mean, that is exact. That looks like a play button.
It feels like an algorithm.
And it
this
wouldn't
out.
If the angle was just slightly off or the elevation
it's perfect.
Was just slightly
it's like
off.
they tested this sucker. That's amazing.
I mean, you say it's a lot of money, but is it a lot of money in Google dollars?
No.
I mean, it's probably just one monthly payment to the EU, you know, as part of a. I mean, this is nothing. This is like lunch money for them.
Look at the tweets. The location of that YouTube logo has me wanting to touch my TV to start the video. Keep trying to press play on my screen. Hey, somebody tell Fox to get rid of the YouTube logo behind home plate. It's driving me nuts. No, you're confusing Fox's strike zone box with YouTube logo.
but like Padre said, this is excellent trolling. Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
So that's
good.
Really all you need
well done.
To do.
Congratulations.
Well done.
Now, if they had YouTube TV and it was showing the World Series without that, they take it out. Okay, I see that.
Actually, I should check on my YouTube TV if I can get the
World
Series.
Can you pay for the World Series?
Well, it's on Fox. I think it might be on my... Let me go to my YouTube TV. Hold on a second.
I was going to say, my husband watches baseball, he's my age, so I don't know if he's old or not.
I watch F1 racing.
That's, that was just this last week in Austin.
Yeah.
How was it?
Oh, awesome. I can't do it in Microsoft's Edge.
How
dare you? How dare you try to use some other product to watch YouTube TV?
Would you like me to look and see if I can get the World Series on YouTube?
Do you subscribe to YouTube TV?
Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah, so this is for YouTube TV.
Nope. Nope.
Was it there?
Yes.
In my home?
You actually. Oh, wow.
Game two. And if I press this plus button, now it's going to DVR it.
But, okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know they did that.
And that's good because I could skip through the 2-second commercials for T-Mobile.
Do you like YouTube TV? Does it give you something that no other service gives you?
But it's an advantage for people in certain metros like the San Francisco metro where we are because we get live TV, live local TV.
Oh,
so you
right.
see I'm getting Channel 2, Channel 5, Channel 7.
Oh, so it's geolocated.
Yeah.
This will give you...
These are my local stations.
I don't know.
And not every market has locals. But don't you think this is the greatest interface? It actually plays it live so you can see
actually kinda cool.
That is cool.
What's on. I mean, if nothing else, TiVo and the others should learn from the UI. The UI is, I think, spectacular.
Can you pick your location? So, like, for example,
you're going to get what you.
Well, could you VPN to it? Or are they going to snag you?
I figure Google's probably smart enough not to let you do that. This is, and you have, I know you have a younger daughter who probably watches some of these young the kids' stuff like Disney and
she has not. She grew up on Netflix and.
Isn't that interesting?
Hulu.
Yeah. She can watch Phineas and Ferb without any network.
Yeah. Can you like DVR it and then take it offline? You know, record 12
bring
hours
it with
of
you?
Shows for
I
your
think
kids.
You can. Someone actually was telling me they subscribe to this so they could bring. How-to videos and programming videos on the plane with them.
Well, I have, let's see, I have Fargo here because I DVR'd that. Let's see if the menu lets me to remove Fargo, go to Fargo. I don't, maybe not.
Well, if you take your...
Related on YouTube, I think I have to stream it, which you would expect, right?
Well, some shows probably you can
maybe
stream
it. Maybe you can't do that, all of them that way, yeah.
All hail DRM, making life difficult.
But, for instance, you can have, with one subscription, you can multiple family members, each with their own DVR, each with their own channel tunings and so forth. I think this is, it's $25 a month. I think for $25 a month, this is, if you're in a market where you can get the locals, a pretty good choice.
See, but for me, $25 a month, that's all I'm going to pay every month for entertainment. So could I make YouTube TV the only entertainment I buy a month?
No, that's the problem. And I think that's the real problem with cord cutting is then you have to add Netflix, mm-hmm. Hulu probably. No, you wouldn't need Hulu if you have this as much.
You don't have to.
True. You don't have to do anything.
I'm just going to point out that.
Well, right, the only service I pay for right now is Amazon Video because it comes with my Prime.
That's it. $35 a month.
I don't do Netflix. I don't do Hulu. I don't do YouTube TV.
But this $35 plus $10 for Netflix, which is have Netflix.
Okay.
And maybe another $15 if you wanted HBO. Then you're talking,
but then you roll in the cost of your connection too, right?
And then your connection—it's the same as cables, and that's frankly one of the reasons cable companies have slowly ratcheted up the internet prices is because they want it so that we'll get you either way.
They need that $160 ARPU for the triple play.
We're gonna get the ARPU.
We just hooked up the community I live in San Francisco to Comcast, and so we had to do business class. That's the only way they would come out to our side of the street. If we got just the internet, it would have been $285 a month. Getting this exact same internet connection plus 100 channels is $95 a month.
But you're going to have to contact them every year.
Right.
This is true.
I went into the Comcast store, and that's what the representative said. I can save you money now, but you have to keep in touch with us every year. Otherwise, this will go back to the normal pricing, and you'll be sorry.
But see, I did this before in D.C.
She actually said that.
And they charged us the higher rate, and then I called up and I threatened to cancel, and they refunded the 3 months that they had already charged us. So it's they don't care.
They don't care. They want
to
get that
sale. They need to keep you on the cable plan because they actually sell that advertising.
I think you nailed it though,
Leo. The killer thing about this is families, because imagine a family where you got a kid in middle school, kid in high school, kid in college, and this is not about another way to get local programming or different types of programming on a TV. It's about getting TV on a mobile phone. And so kids are going to want to see their shows on their mobile phone. They're going to want to have their own DVR. And the parents are going to want to have the kids have their own DVR. Right? So because you don't want to wade through all your middle school kids' DVR'd shows to get to your shows. And so I think really if you think about a family where you have kids going up through the schools or whatever, it's basically so inexpensive to just take care of everybody.
So it's for convenience.
That is like the first worldiest problem I think I have ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
I hate scrolling through all my kids' shows.
There's another reason, and that's to stick it to the man. And people hate cable companies so much that they will actually pay more just to stick it to the cable company, right?
Tom Arendt did that.
Yeah, because they just don't like them.
And he had to stay on the phone for an hour and a half pay more. That's
so so this is a perfect example. We're Stockholm Syndrome. So my cable and my internet have been kind of dropping very quickly, briefly. But I'm watching a show and then I come back. And I know that's the cable because it's on two different, you know, I have a business class and a home class. And I know that it's them. And I know I have to call Comcast. And it's like, we can put up with this, can't we? We can live with this for a while. It is actually less painful to have the TV stop every 10 seconds than to call Comcast to get it fixed. That's horrible.
No, you just tweet about it, and then they call you.
That's actually, much faster way to do
they
it.
They did. So I did this many years ago. When I still believed in the Twitter, I tweeted. It was back when Comcast cares and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call from the executive office. You know what they said? Can you stop tweeting? They didn't say, we'll fix this.
Then you say, will you fix my cable?
Yeah. Their real impetus was not to fix something. They didn't say, oh, I'm sorry you're having these problems. We'd like to fix it. They said, what can we do to get you to stop tweeting? I did. I said,
yeah, that's really simple. Just come out here and fix this.
Make my broadband work.
Yeah. Take away the reason for my tweeting.
But it just tells you that it wasn't about customer service, was it? All right, I'm going to get the bad flavor of the Oreos out of your mouth, and I'm going to put it back in when we talk about the Pixel 2. Stacy's using her Pixel 2, the Pixel 2 XL display and all of that.
Do you want me to show it? You're going to have to tell me when it's time for me to show
it's
that.
It's almost time.
Okay, I'm ready.
But first, we are going to cleanse your palate with some luscious Blue Bottle coffee. We love Blue Bottle coffee. Now you can get it by subscription, and it is the most amazing. When you have a company like Blue Bottle that has an insane dedication to coffee, like I do, to be honest, you're getting, and by the way, I don't know if they sent it to Georgia, and I'm sure you have good coffee there, but boy, you might want to.
Not that good.
Blue Bottle. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just talking to somebody who says, I only do the single source.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a Costa Rica from Chirapó Regalo de Rivas. Oh, man, just smell that.
Collect them all. Share them with your
business. Doesn't it smell good? Oh, my God.
That may leave with me.
I know. You can take it. This coffee is the definition of homemade, grown, processed, even dried, milled on the Urania family farm along the mango trees of Rivas, Costa Rica. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Years of tinkering have brought its sweetness into focus with a tart complexity that should please its farmer, the ambitious Regalo Gerardo Urania, as much as it astonishes anyone with the good fortune to taste it. It's got Rainier cherry, dried fig, and creme brulee notes. You know what? We're going to make some. How about if we make a little bit and we could taste it? The beans, by the way, one of the things that's really critical, it's wonderful to get a coffee from a farmer directly so that, you know, they're getting the proceeds directly and you're tasting the unique flavors that they are bringing you. That's why Blue Bottle works directly with farmers all over the world. 85% of the coffee they buy is certified organic. Most of their blends are certified organic. But the key is they bring the beans home. They don't roast them until you order. All the beans you're going to get are roasted within 48 hours of your order. They even have a date and time on it so that you know and shipped to you. So you're getting, and this is critical, you're getting the beans have just been roasted. And they have something for every palate, from the lighter fruit-flavored profiles, which we just described, to the deeper chocolatey espressos. I'm a big fan of the blend. My mouth is watering. The Giant Steps blend. It's a really good Ugandan and Sumatran. They describe the notes as viscous, fudgy, and substantial. Doesn't that sound like something you want?
It's so good.
Wait, with cream in it?
I like it with cream.
Yeah.
Do you not like cream?
No. You got to taste the coffee.
You could taste the coffee. I like cream. All right, we can get another one without it. This is the Kenya Embu Jikirima. Roasted. How is that even possible? October 24th. What day is today?
This is into the future.
It's the 25th.
It was yesterday.
Oh, wow. How is that even possible? Come on, you should just try it. It's not a lot of cream.
I put my order in.
Oh, okay. That is really good.
That's why he took it away from me.
Blue Bottle is, I promise you, and if you don't agree, no cost to you, it is the freshest coffee, the most delicious coffee you've ever had. And you can get a free trial at bluebottlecoffee.com/twig. You get the free trial, and then it will convert into the 12-ounce, which you can cancel, of course, a 12-ounce shipment of your selected subscription. They deliver it bi-weekly. That's every other week. And that way you always have fresh coffee, 12 ounces every other week. But if you want more, you can get more, obviously.
I'm going to need more.
Yeah,
it's like 12 ounces wouldn't get me through 2 weeks.
You could change, pause, or cancel a subscription anytime. And when you sign up for the free trial, you even get $10 towards your first order. So this is really...
Oh, man. There's a Blue Bottle I go to in L.A., and I love that place. The coffee is always just beyond fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Blue Bottle. I really don't, but it is qualitatively different than any other coffee place.
It's not doesn't do justice to say it's better. It just tastes different, and I like the difference. Yeah.
It's cleaner.
It
tastes like what it's. You think something's.
Yes, supposed,
right.
Even if you have the temerity to put cream in it.
I know the audacity.
Do you not put anything in your coffee? You drink it black.
I sometimes put sugar in my coffee.
I would submit honey. The cream isn't as bad as sugar or honey.
I don't normally put sugar in my coffee, but when I go to Blue Bottle, sometimes I order. There's a couple of drinks they have that are kind of like these caramelly. I forgot what they're called.
Yes. Then you're having candy.
Yeah, well, they don't oversweeten it.
It's just enough so you can smell it, just the aroma.
Yeah. Well, it did. As soon as they opened that box, it was. You like opening that every other week. Hey, this just
so to answer your question. I'm sorry, Leo, but
coffee
your
in
question,
the, Georgia.
It's not great. What they do have in Georgia is something like. Also has notes of mango and whatever.
This is where wine was invented.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Absolutely. I think it was travel. What's the name of that big travel? The big travel guide company. What's it called? The website.
Frommers? Oh, Trip Planner.
Trip Advisor.
That's it. Trip Advisor.
Just named Tbilisi the number one city in the world for wine. They just did this last week.
What?
And it's absolutely true. Absolutely true. This whole country is insane obsessed with wine.
Well,
everybody makes it at home.
We have some neighbors to the north who might disagree with that.
Canada?
All right. Well, it's on, man.
Canada? I don't think they're really. The north. They're more better for, you know, Tim Hortons. This just in. So we all know about DxO. They're the ones who give the grades for the cameras on the phones and the lenses and so forth. And they're the ones that Google very happily said we have the highest score ever. What Google didn't point out is the new Honor Mate 10 actually has a higher still photo score of 100.
What is the scale on this thing?
0 to 100.
Okay.
Although now that something's got 100, I think they're going to have to expand it. What if something's better than the Leica lenses in the Mate 8? Anyway, they have decided, and I'm so happy to hear this, to take over the Nik collection from Google. So this was something Google bought and used mostly. They wanted Snapseed, which Google distributes as a free app, which is a great app. But Nik was very famous for making photo editing tools that everybody, all the pros I know, loved, especially Silver Effects, which is their black and white, their monochrome filter. And it has been neglected by Google. Google started giving it away, so it wasn't like they were charging for it. But they have neglected it. And so I'm very thrilled to hear that somebody is going to take over Nik. And keep that alive, especially Silver Effects, because that is a plugin that is hard to live without.
These are plugins for Photoshop and for Lightroom.
Right.
Which one do you use? Are you a Photoshop
person? I'm a Lightroom guy. About Lightroom, too. That's a big change. This last week at Adobe Max, Adobe announced that they were going to eliminate the buy it once, keep it forever model from Lightroom, which is a very popular pro photography tool. And require a subscription. I've been subscribing for a while because the Creative Cloud subscription to Lightroom included Photoshop, Lightroom, $10 a month. That was a good deal.
Cheap enough.
Yeah, cheap enough. Well, considering Lightroom's $200, but the Photoshop's like $800. So that was a good deal.
I'm one of these guys who I'm on an old version of the suite. I'm 5.5 because I don't want a subscription. Yeah. I want to own my software and forever be able to use it.
Yeah, that's not Adobe's model anymore. It's not Microsoft's model anymore. I think it's
that is
future.
Not a business model.
No, and I understand. Yeah, I understand why they want their model. They're going to make far more money.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, well, but I want to pay for it. Take my money and let me own it, and then I'll buy the next version. But
yeah, because that's what their model was. We would update it every year. And then you'd pay it for a little extra for the update. So anyway, it's a completely new interface on Lightroom. So we'll see what they're keeping the old Lightroom as Creative Lightroom CC Classic CC, and then the new Lightroom is just Lightroom CC. Anyway, so actually that opens up, and it's maybe one of the reasons DxO Mark is acquiring Nik. It opens up, I think, an opportunity in the marketplace for companies to make Lightroom replacements, because I think a lot of photographers are looking for something better. And I know at least two companies, Serif, which makes that great affinity photo, and Macfun, which makes a really fabulous kind of Lightroom-like program called Luminar, are both working towards making their products be a challenger in the Lightroom space.
I remember when Google got the collection, and I was hoping that it would just become part of Google Photos.
Mm-hmm. I was too. I think that's what we thought.
Never happened.
That's what I really thought would happen.
And that would have been amazing. That would have been incredible.
I wish they'd integrate Snapseed into Google Photos. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Snapseed is so good. And for most people, I think Snapseed's all you really need. You get great results with Snapseed. I think what's happening in Lightroom is really Adobe acknowledging that really most photography is now done on a camera phone and processed in the camera phone for posting on social media. That's mostly what people are doing now, and that's kind of where they're tuning their software. All right, you got a Pixel 2.
I do.
By the way, your case looks great on your Pixel 2.
What's that theme, Leo? It's people reading.
People reading.
In space. Women reading in space.
It's not women reading in space. It is women astronauts. It celebrates women astronauts.
I've unfortunately confused Stacey by asserting it doesn't look like that at all. That is a woman astronaut?
Yes.
And that's the planet Earth. And she's in the module of whatever it is, obviously, because she's not wearing a suit. And the book is floating because she's
no gravity. No gravity.
I think it's a nice case.
It's a nice picture. Well, and I activated the live case as screensaver, so my screensaver is also
a woman in space.
I think.
Or is it the same picture?
No, it's not the same picture. It is. Hold on.
It's the other side of the portal.
Do we have an over the shoulder so you can see my pretty?
Yes, I think we do. Karsten's trying to figure out where it is. There it is.
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So in. Let's see. I think I can.
Does it change all your colors to kind of match to like?
So this is the author. And let's see. Oh wait, go to settings.
It's a little out of focus.
Oh, sorry.
It's a little bright. Is mostly what the problem is.
That's because Padre asked me to make it as bright as possible.
I wanted to see how bright it could get.
Turn it down even more. I would see how bright that white is. Yeah.
Guys, I can't do 8 things at once. I am a bad multitasker.
There we go. Nice. That's perfect.
So there's a 10-minute documentary where they interviewed 3 women who were in space. And it was actually kind of cool because I showed it to my daughter because I'm like, go ladies in STEM. And there's a moment where one of the astronauts who was a mom talked about saying goodbye to her son before they did the liftoff.
Oh, wow.
And my daughter looked at me and she's like, moms can go into space? And I was like, yeah, they can.
Aww.
So it was pretty cool. Anyway.
Did she then say, when are you going in space?
You know, she didn't.
She's not a teenager yet.
she still likes me. She's sad that I got to go.
You know, the funny thing is, that is no longer a rhetorical question. It used to be a generation ago. Now it could be, well, actually, that's possible. Yeah. I could.
Are there moms?
A woman just came back from the International Space Station.
Don't think there's a woman currently in orbit.
There is not one in orbit.
But was she a mom?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Not that that matters.
Are there dads in space?
I hope so. Yes, there are definitely dads in space.
Because once you get back from space, you may not be a dad because of all the radiation.
Right.
Well,
your children first.
They just had that astronaut come down after it was a year plus, and his blog is filled with all the readjustments, and his bones
hurt. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And
after all of the exercise that he did to simulate gravity, it's just, no, the human body doesn't like zero G.
It likes it when it's up there, right?
It loves it when it's up there. You come back down, though, into a grab, which is The Expanse has that. They built that into the storyline, how people who grew up in the zero G, it's a great show, a great book series. When they come down into a large gravity well, they just can't cope.
Robert just interviewed the author on triangulation.
That's awesome.
Scott Kelly now has his book out about his year in space called Endurance.
Oh, and he was interesting because he had a twin, and so they were doing all of these medical experiments.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Not on him, but they were kind of on him.
Because they could compare his bone mass and so forth with his brother's to see.
They were going to compare their DNA to see if, did they do that?
I don't know.
That would be amazing to see if his DNA has mutated because of his exposure to radiation. And now he has superpowers.
That doesn't happen.
No.
Unfortunately.
It's not what I've heard.
Let us talk about the Pixel 2 XL's display. First of all, the Pixel 2, are you happy with it?
I am happy, and I like the intentional squeeze. I think it's...
I tried it. You let me squeeze your phone. Thank you.
I did.
And I didn't squeeze it that hard. But you can hold it firmly, and it doesn't trigger.
It's true.
You really have to kind of intentionally squeeze it, but it's not that hard. I thought it was just right, actually.
And you can actually... So there was an option when I set it up to actually kind of customize it. It asked me to squeeze the phone how I wanted to squeeze it. And so I was like...
I think you said it nicely, but the point is there is a clear distinction, and it buzzes, gives you haptic feedback when you squeeze it, and it launches the assistant.
It does, so and I turn good. A lot of my haptic feedback off. Because
but you leave that one on.
I get irritated. Yeah. And it's nice, actually, when I'm reaching in my bag with intention to, like, oh, I need to find this out. When you're reaching, you can just squeeze it as you're reaching into your bag, and then it's like, I'm
I've
ready.
Heard people say that, that's kind of like a natural thing. Reach in your pocket, squeeze as you're pulling it out, and then speak immediately. The screen looks good. You like it? It's an LCD screen, so it doesn't have any of the burn-in issues.
I was like, I'm so glad. Everyone was like, oh, the screen on the smaller one is not any good. We hate it.
It's fine.
And I'm like, oh, here, my head's in the way.
I tell you, there are people with very picky eyes. And those are the picky people who tweet and
review tech gadgets
and write on Reddit. And I looked at the Pixel 2 XL at a Verizon store when it was available. And I saw what they were talking about, the modeling with the dimmer screen. That did not bother me in the least. However, I'm very concerned about this burn-in issue.
That is a huge issue. That feels like quality control, and I don't know what Google's going to do. And then there's also on the Pixel 2, there's complaints now, and I just had this happen, about ticking during the phone calls.
Yeah. So you're getting that.
I did get ticking. I didn't get, there's apparently also a high-pitched audio thing that happens from the speakers, too.
It strikes me that ticking has happened before, and
I think it's an NFC radio issue.
I think that can be, well,
the
if it's
problem, the
physical
problem
hardware,
the ticking
that would
is,
be an issue.
Yeah, that's a hardware issue. That's not something that's not
they
shielded
properly.
They
think it's probably. A firmware update that they can do. They're going to have to take the DBs down.
Exactly. The firmware means when they turn on the cellular radio for a talk, they basically kill off all the other RF, which you're not supposed to do. That's not good design. It means that if you're on a call and you go to use, say, the NFC, it just won't work.
Right.
Here's,
I used to be on Verizon with the 4G and the CDMA.
Right.
That was always exciting.
Here's Alex Dobie's tweet. This is the
I can see
first
it.
One to yeah. talk about it. And what you see is the back button, the home button, and the recents button. Those are the buttons that are on all the time, of course, and they're going to be the ones you're going to have burned in. But you even can see a little line from the dock there. And that's after 7 days, he said. So that is really a cause for concern. OLEDs do have burn-in issues.
Yes, they
it's
do.
Not unheard of. Somebody was telling me, I think Renee Ritchie yesterday was telling me, that on the Samsung OLEDs, like the Note 8, they jitter the display. They move it a pixel left, pixel right every once in a while, just to avoid that specific kind of burn-in.
Oh.
Samsung is the display used in the iPhone X, the OLED, and of course the Note 8 and the S7. It is the best display I've ever seen. I think everybody agrees, even in the Note 8 OLED is fantastic.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, it's rich, it's bright, it just really looks good. But that's not the one that Google got. They got the LG display, the same as in the V30, and I think some are worried that it might not, it might be a subpar, a third generation OLED.
That's so weird, because this is a known quantity on OLEDs. You know it. It's right. It's not like LCD where you're shining a backlight through a filter. You're actually burning the OLEDs in order to make that light. Well, okay, we've known that for, 6 years now? So for you not to build that into the firmware where you jitter, or at least play with the pixels so that you're not unevenly wearing them, that's almost negligent. It's as if they just decided not to listen to their engineers anymore, or their engineers didn't know about
it. Part of the problem, there's engineers at the company, and then there's engineers at the suppliers, there's engineers at the factories and the manufacturing, and all that kind of stuff. And this is, this is most likely an example of what happens when you're not Apple or Samsung. You know, if you're Apple and you're building, and your component suppliers are building parts for Apple, you don't mess that relationship up, because it's the end of you. And it's, you know, the volumes that Apple and also Samsung produce displays at just puts them at the front of the line. And so somebody like Google comes along, and they have a fraction number of units. They don't have the history. They don't have the backstory. They don't have, you know, any of that stuff. They're going to get, you know, the truth is they're going to be second in line for the top tier phone makers.
And that's been true of every manufacturer in the age of Apple. Apple gets, they get the lion's share of the trough. They can get the best parts, and they can lock in manufacturers for those parts, even if they're not going to use them. They're famous for doing this. They may need 10 million screens, but they're going to sign a contract for 20 million just because that's 10 million that another manufacturer can't get, which it's kind of funny, but at the same time, it means all the devices I love are going to get the subpar parts.
Yeah.
So it's not just Google that's suffering with its new flagship phone. This morning, and some suspected that Apple had leaked it to Bloomberg, Bloomberg had a story that Apple had reduced Face ID accuracy in order to get the iPhone X out the door. We've known, of course, that the components for the iPhone X were behind. It pushed the iPhone X back a month. You'll be able to order it day after tomorrow at 12:01 a.m. Friday at Pacific time for delivery next Friday. But I wonder if people are thinking twice about this. Apple has denied it, saying Bloomberg's claim that Apple has reduced the accuracy spec for Face ID is completely false. But it was a strange denial. By the way, Bloomberg's response, we stand behind a report. It was a strange denial because it didn't exactly deny that they had done that. It was more about, well, we haven't, the quality and accuracy of Face ID haven't changed. But they didn't say since when.
So Apple, I've been on the wrong end of the stick reporting on Apple and things that have gone wrong. And
they fight you.
They fight you and they are very nitpicky in a way that is hard. You're like, oh, if only I'd put that one word in my story.
Yeah.
So I cut you off, Mike. I'm sorry.
But also the other thing is that these aren't black and white issues at all. A company like Apple always has 10 possibilities that they're looking at as they're going into a manufacturing cycle. And at some point, they do the cost benefit on each of the different possibilities. And maybe that one, there are technologies where they're on the fence where either we put the really, really good one at a higher risk into the current model, or we keep perfecting it and put it in the next model. And lots of people are involved in that process. And so a lot of these leaks come from component suppliers and others who think maybe their part is going to go in, and then they're informed by Apple, no, your part's going to go in some later phone, or maybe it won't go in a later phone. And from their perspective, Apple has made a decision to step back the quality. Whereas with Apple, I don't, you know, you see what I'm saying? It's a gray area.
Apple said, no, this is what we always planned to do. Options. We were thinking of something better. We decided, I guess the point is that at the announcement, Apple said, there is a 1 in a million chance of a random person unlocking your iPhone with Face ID. And they say, we stand by that number. It is just as accurate in that respect. So, that's part of the accuracy. But there's other things having to do with accuracy. Does it recognize you twice in a row? Does it recognize you if you were wearing glasses? There may be other areas that Apple, that the spec has changed.
And they could change something like the algorithm. And that governs this sort of act. They could change the model. They could do all that. And as long as it fits what they said.
Right. It's exactly right. So, all they're claiming is it continues to be a 1 in a million. So that's what they're saying hasn't changed.
Right.
But there are many other parameters that might have changed. So I'm not sure. I think they, in other words, they could both be right, as you point out, Mike, that it's a little bit of a semantic parsing.
Apple's very good at that.
Yeah. As you have pointed out. So I think really for the consumer, the real issue is going to be how fast it is, how convenient it is, not whether there's 1 in a million chance somebody could duplicate my face, because we're very happy with Touch ID, which Apple itself says is 1 in 10,000, mm-hmm. right? Well, that's not, nobody said, I'm not going to use Touch ID. Somebody might spoof it. What we look for is reliability. So it works every time. It works fast. It works even if my finger's not right or my face isn't right. Those are the things that consumers really care about. And so I'm
But those
sure
aren't the things that Apple cares about. What Apple cares about is this Animoji thing is part of the face recognition process. Animoji is where it looks at your face and then it animates the facial expressions of an avatar as you're chatting and that sort of thing. We're right on the brink, and this isn't just an Apple thing. This is going to be in all the Android phones. We're right on the brink of emotion detection and monitoring all the time. So everything you do with your phone, the phone will be watching your face and gauging, are you happy? Are you sad? Are you thrilled? Are you bored? What's going on with your face? And this is going to be the new privacy thing. So right now,
that's actually
about
happening.
Cookies and
so that's happening. Really what Apple's caring about is how much data can I get out of your facial features?
Yes.
I talked to a Freescale engineer, and you could tell how long ago it was because they were still Freescale and not NXP and now not possibly Qualcomm. But they were already doing this kind of emotion detection using face recognition there. And so they weren't doing it on handsets yet. the goal was to put it on handsets, and that was always the goal. And so
imagine if Mark Zuckerberg had the data as you're looking at the Facebook timeline. Oh, she looks bored. Quick. Feed in some kitties.
Put,
yeah. Imagine. I mean, but that's the data Facebook would kill to get, right?
Oh, and Facebook has the best face recognition technology. It's better than the FBI's. And so that's a short road from that to emotion detection.
Wow.
Well, so best, they have the best for recognizing a person in all, like all around them. So yes,
right, not just their face, right?
Not just, but it's also context related. So it's in the context of other photos and that sort of thing.
The best exactly. context aware solution that I've seen actually belongs to a company that was seeded by the CIA. They're one of the CIA startups. And they've made a software solution that can do not just facial recognition, but body language recognition. And yeah. they built that for obvious reasons. But
Google has gait recognition.
Yeah,
that's
gait recognition.
Another way to authenticate you is, well, you walk like you.
Yep.
What was the video? I'm trying to remember. Maybe it was you who was talking about it, Stacey. It was at a self-driving car event. They had people in the self-driving car mock-up. And they were looking at their moods and their feelings as they were driving to try to figure out what to play in the self-driving car.
Ooh.
Because you're going to be kind of bored. You're sitting in this box for 5 hours. You don't have anything to do on a long road trip. And they were actually doing emotion and feelings testing to see what... Yep. So we can already do this. That's not there's no question about
and
that.
You got to remember, when you do the setup for the Face ID on the iPhone 10, you do this. So you get all the different angles. It's not just straight on, left, right.
Mm-hmm.
They take all angles. So they should be able to recognize you even if your phone's not dead on.
Right.
And I've heard that it's actually quite accurate. That also depends on lighting. So if you've got decent lighting, it's almost 100%.
Mood sensing.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
So, but really more to the quotidian concerns of our audience, should you worry about an iPhone 10 or a Pixel 2 XL? Should you hold off on ordering? It sounds like maybe it would be prudent to stick with what you got. You're happy with the Pixel 2.
So until the ticking, which I'm hopeful they'll fix it. So I love this phone.
Yeah.
I really like it. It's very fast. It's got great pictures. It's...
I like always on. Don't you like always on?
I do. I'm sneaking glances at it all the
time.
And
you see, the OLEDs have always been able to do that. So I think Motorola X was the first to do it. Robert, how do they do it on an LCD, though, like this? I mean, are they turning the whole screen black with white text? How are they? So that's a lot more power hungry than it would be on an OLED where they just turn on those individual pixels.
Well, also the screen on the Pixel 2, I believe they can do segmented backlighting.
Ah.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I can see how much power it's consuming.
Yeah. Well, that's another issue, by the way, and Lisa's really noticed this. The iPhone 8, a lot of people are complaining, especially with iOS 11, has terrible battery life. I haven't had that problem at all on my 8 Plus. But so maybe specific iPhones, but a number of people are saying there's battery issues with the iPhone 8. So the overall story may be here that at this point in late stage smartphone technology, companies are now pushing so hard to get a differentiator, to get an improvement, to somehow make this new phone better than last year's slab of glass, that they're maybe pushing too hard. Didn't Samsung do that last year with the Note 7?
They did.
And
it exploded in flames.
But I mean, before the explodey things, the Note 7 was an amazing phone. I remember seeing it at IFA before they released it. And it was gorgeous.
I love the Note 7, and I have to say I love the Note 8 just as much. Oh. This is a great phone.
My parents charged theirs in Pyrex baking dishes because they did not want
to turn
theirs.
It in, right?
They were like, it took Verizon like threatening to turn the phones off. They got my mom off the Note 7.
But here's the thing. The Note 7, the Note 8, the iPhone 10, the Pixel 2, they're $1,000 phones. And
this is not $1,000.
Well, right, but I mean
$650.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm more of the range of a $300 to $500 phone guy. And my $500 phone is fantastic.
What do you use?
Right now I'm on a OnePlus 5. I just moved from a OnePlus 1 to a OnePlus 5.
You like an Essential phone?
I was going to say, do you want an Essential? Because the price cut makes it kind of attractive.
I'll give him mine.
I'd love it.
Okay, it's yours.
Oh, woo-hoo. It's sitting on my, I just got an Essential phone.
And I got the 360 camera on this. This actually kind of makes me sad. Andy Rubin, who created Android, sold it to Google, left Google after working on robotics for a while, and as well as Android, to start his company. It's going to be a home. We've talked about this before. You're going to, I'm sure, be reporting on their whatever home automation solution.
Kevin just bought an Essential phone, and the first thing I asked him was, look for any secrets to the home
stuff. I don't think there is any. It's just a kind of stock Android phone. And actually, I really like it. Ceramic and titanium. I did not do a pre-pro model, and a lot of people who did got bit by bad cameras. But I don't know if you remember when I opened up my phone and I started taking pictures, it crashed immediately. The camera crashed in me.
Yeah.
Not even
when you were taking a picture. When you opened the app, it crashed the app.
Yeah. It crashed the phone. The phone reset. So, but since then, there have been two or three, maybe four updates to the camera, at least three that I noticed updates to the camera, and it's fine now.
But we had such high hopes for the Essential. It looked good.
You don't get a second chance, though. That's the point, is in this market, it's so competitive. If you come out and you look bad, so they're dropping it, what, by $200?
$200. But if you spend $800 on anything, unless it's a house, I mean, but or a car.
Houses break. Cars break.
Well, an $800 car, I expect it to break. Yes. But an $800 device, by golly, that better be a really good device.
You expect, when you get a new car, often there's defects. You don't. You expect them to fix them.
I don't buy the first model year of any car.
And if it was the $300 Essential phone, I would be willing to put up with bugs.
Sure.
At an $800 price point, it better be a finished product.
Well, you're going to enjoy this free Essential phone.
See, awesome.
See, isn't
it's
it amazing?
Incredible.
Yes.
At free, it free, is the it's best the best phone ever. To
get. No, I like it because it's a little smaller, right?
Yeah.
Ooh. It's a big screen because it's edge to edge.
It is beautiful.
I think it's a gorgeous phone. You know, the problem is nobody's going to make a case for it. Yeah. You know, because there's no ecosystem. They sold 5,000 at Sprint. But I think it's a very, very nice phone. And I have had zero problems once those camera updates came out. And it has a nice black and white monochrome mode in the camera that I think is quite good.
Is that pretentious mode?
Yeah, the pretentious mode. It'll be the best. What is it? If it's $200 less, it'll be $600, something like that?
I think it's, I can't remember the exact
price.
Might
be $500.
Might be $500. It'll be, I would say it's the best $500. It's right up there with a flagship phone. So people should not hesitate to buy it for $500, I think.
But meanwhile, there's another thread of interest that's starting to emerge. And just to throw a wet blanket on this whole conversation. When smartphones were new, they were solving problems left and right. The app stores enables to carry all these things. We don't have to buy different devices. We don't have to buy a radio. We don't have to buy this. Don't have to buy that. Because they were all apps. There's an app for that. They had all this stuff. They were solving our problems. Now we're spending more and more money on smartphones. And what problems are they solving? What problems, for example, does the new Pixel solve that the old Pixel gave you as a person?
Well, my old Pixel broke. This works.
It solves that problem perfectly.
But meanwhile, the smartphones themselves are causing problems. What are our real problems? Our real problems is work-life balance. Our real problems are we're too distracted from our smartphones. We're addicted to social media. People are getting dumber. Students the grades are plummeting because they're using their smartphones and they can't help themselves from using their smartphones in class during lectures. There's a new study that came out today that said 20% of babies under the age of 1 in Tokyo are using smartphones
daily.
Under
the age of 1? What are they doing with them?
Their mothers are showing them videos to keep them quiet and stuff like that.
Oh,
anyway, there's a growing problem around smartphones, and I would like to see Google and Apple and other companies start to solve the problem.
So, two things. Because Jeff isn't here, I'm going to say techno panic. And then I'm also going to say Andy Rubin with the Essential phone is actually trying to solve that. He wants you to keep the phone in your pocket and to have contextual computing that is aware and gives you what you need when you need
it. But he doesn't have a watch. What does he use for that?
That's the home side of it. That's what he's trying to do there. And I think
I might want my Essential phone back.
Okay.
I think there are things that are happening. It's going to take a while because we're going to have to build an entire new user interface. the big ecosystems are like, I want to get in this ecosystem, and they're trying to like lock everybody out, which makes it hard for users to use the services they want. But we're getting there, and I think there's so much that phones do that is really good for kids and people that I don't want you to be like, ah, smartphones are terrible.
I think asking tech companies to respond to the cultural dislocations their technologies are creating is like asking a butcher shop to put a sign up promoting veganism.
Well, I mean, they will at some point. They will have to at some point, because essentially there's this arms race between the social media companies, between the app creators, between YouTube and all these other companies, and the smartphone users themselves, makers themselves, to get more and more addictive and distracting. For example, one of the greatest features of Stacey's phone is the always on. The phone is always sort of like, you, and she said, I want to look at it even more than I did before.
Look, she's made and it so face this, down this is, so she doesn't.
Yeah.
But
this is we are no match for this.
Is
for
that
this
their job evolution. To solve?
That's
their job to solve.
Look, we have a archive People at the school that I live at. And there are articles that I just pulled up, like a month ago, from people who were complaining about this new technology and what it was doing to society in San Francisco. The new technology was the cable car. And they were saying people are no longer walking. Yeah. They're not talking to their neighbors. They're on this cable. So, I mean, you can go down the line of human advancement, and they always say the same thing.
That's true. That's true. And, of course, we have abandoned the cable car, haven't we? But I mean, look at Megan's digital cleanses. And lots of people are doing digital
fasts. We have to respond to it.
Where they're stopping.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so there's going to be more and more of that where people are there are actually some startups that are creating. There's the Light Phone, for example. There are other phones that
these are just
creating
silly
solutions. Well, yes, they are. But this tiny little movements of obscure people on the fringe that grow into mainstream movements eventually. And I think that's inevitably going to happen at some point, because at some point, you know, people are walking into traffic and doing all this kind of stuff.
Okay. Mike, could you go back to a feature phone?
I've considered it seriously. In fact,
the funny thing is a feature phone wouldn't do anything for me because I never use the phone.
Right. Me neither.
All I want is the other features.
All you have to do is stop.
Near the end of the show, in Mike's tool, at the end of the show, I'm going to tell you about the perfect phone.
Okay.
It's an Android phone, and it's the greatest phone. It's the phone that everybody should get, and it solves all these problems.
Stay tuned, boys and girls.
So I don't think this is a problem, because I think if you have, like, I look at my phone and always on, and I'm excited because I can see what time it is, which I really love.
That's the main tool, right? You can't really see the notifications.
And if you cultivate, and maybe it's just my contrarian introverted personality, but I mean, I don't let it rule my life. And I try to be very conscious about things. Like if I'm like, oh, am I really enjoying reading the entire internet after dinner?
Okay. But part of the problem here is that we all do this for a living. We get distracted by our smartphones for a living. All of us.
Well, I've carefully cultivated my life so that would be the case.
Me too. There are all kinds of studies that, for example, one of the most dramatic studies found that if your phone is just sitting on the table, for Sherry Turkle, we interviewed Megan and I interviewed Sherry Turkle,
great. Yeah.
And she talked about her conversation, Reclaiming Conversation, or her book, Reclaiming Conversation. She talked about how conversations are more superficial if there are smartphones on the table. And there's a similar thing in terms of IQ tests. If you put a phone on the desk and get an IQ test, you're like 5 IQ points dumber than if the phone is taken out of the room.
Is the control there a chocolate muffin? Because I'm thinking about it.
It's a marshmallow.
Same exact thing.
I am dumber if like I'm trying to do something and there's anything that's exciting.
That's a very good point. A chocolate muffin would do it.
But there's something more, though. And I'm going to take Mike's side on this, because at the school I live at, I say masses for the student body. And so we'll have 1,500 students in the chapel or in the auditorium. And it's funny because they have to leave all of their electronic devices in their bags in the classrooms.
Because they'd be doing otherwise.
And you see them do this. They keep...
It's unconscious.
They're reaching for the device that's not there.
And
but if I can agree with Stacey, it's exactly like a chocolate muffin. The difference is that the food industry has recognized that we have a massive health crisis and that 1/3 of the population is now obese because of chocolate muffins. And they're now producing solutions all kinds of diet things and
only
you know,
to preserve
and
their so, business, right?
Yeah, I mean, so we
exactly
spend money
what
on.
I'm saying right. The smartphone right. industry to needs to do yeah. exactly the same thing yeah. for exactly the same reason. Their product is addictive, and it's getting more
but
so all
difference.
The time.
There's a difference. Yeah. The food industry can say that because they realize all of the that luxury food is a luxury.
I will pay but so much for
the
Zoodles.
The tech industry can make a good case for saying everything we sell can increase your productivity.
Pretend you're Pablo Escobar.
Okay.
Pablo,
but,
your cocaine, it's far too enjoyable. It's far too addicting. You're going to have some problems up here in the United States. Can we just ask you to make it a little weaker?
Kill him.
This is what I'm saying. The studies are showing that the productivity is declining in terms of personal productivity. The amount of time people spend, that people now only work less than like 2 hours and 20 minutes a day. And the amount of time they spend on social media and their computers is actually more now than the time they work. Productivity
so,
is crashing.
Mike, you need
is...
to come back from Georgia. You're yeah. turning into something weird out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you're all like yeah. talking to people. I bet you smile at strangers.
I'm just an early indicator. We're all going to be talking about this within over the next year or two or 3 years because yeah. it's becoming a growing problem. Yeah.
So I think about this, and I train my daughter. Like, A, she's 11, and she actually doesn't have her own smartphone. And
yay.
She talks to the Echo, I want Madam A, or Google in our house to do a lot of things. So she's not even encountering the phone in ways. And the rest of the time, she's actually on her laptop chatting with her friends on Google Hangouts. And so I obviously can't keep this up forever, but we're also spending a lot of time talking to her about what it means to not be able to get off social media. And she like told me the other day, she's like, I think I'm watching too much YouTube. I was like, well,
she's aware of it.
The
That's
fact that she's aware of that yeah. is amazing.
And so
can,
I was
can
like,
can we watch a video, a quick one? I put it in the rundown near the bottom. It's a, yeah. it's a PSA from Funny or Die.
Okay.
Carson, if you have that.
I can pull it up too, Carson. If I can.
Yeah, this is a perfect along the lines of what Stacey's talking about.
I was going back and forth with my daughter about there was something when she was a kid called Neopets. And yeah. there was a great article about Neopets. In which it talked about how a young woman who is now a professional computer programmer learned to code in Neopets because it was like MySpace a little bit, and you could create a store. And she they talked about her dad. She said, "Hey, Dad, when she was 11, I need to buy a domain name." And he said, "Can I use your credit card?" And he said, "Yeah, I bet she doesn't know how to do it." In fact, she did. She bought a domain name for a Neopets store. I sent it to Abby. Abby said, "Oh, yeah, I learned CSS and HTML when I was 12 playing this game," which as parents we might have said, "Oh, you're spending yeah. way too it's much time with this artificial animal." Yeah. I think every generation is going to have some issues. As you said, there's a long, rich history of us old folks saying, "Oh, it's going to ruin your eyes. You watch the TV. You're going to read books. You're never going outside."
But there's a rich history of us correcting it as well. I mean, we got to the point where my generation watched way too much TV, ate too much of this Oreo-flavored Fruit Loops. absolutely. But people are trying. You know, there's a whole industry of trying to get people off TV. And anyway,
so where did you correct this? Where did you put this?
It's near the bottom. It's a PSA.
All right. I think Karsten's found it.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, here's a public service announcement from Funny or Die.
Funny
or should
Die.
Tell you something about that. No, he doesn't have it.
He doesn't have it.
He has it. He doesn't have
Karsten
it.
Karsten really doesn't want to play this.
I have it.
Really
so
doesn't
nice
like
to
it.
All be sitting down together. Who can tell me something they did today?
I drew a horsey.
Good for you, Sam.
He's looking at his phone, obviously.
I started smoking.
I love you too, sweetheart.
I'm selling bongs out of our minivan.
I got a tramp stamp. I'm getting implants. I'm dating your brother.
Uh-huh.
I'm cooking meth in the basement.
Great idea, kiddo. That's why you're so popular at school.
Device-free dinner, hashtag commonsense.org. That's awesome. Will Ferrell on his phone. Looks like, by the way, that was a Note 8, I'm just saying, and I don't blame him because that's a gorgeous display. I don't know if you noticed that. But
I will say, in my house, so I live with 12 other priests or 12 other Jesuits, I am the one who never has his device at dinner. And some of the oldest priests are the ones who do. So it's not a generational thing.
We actually have done device-free dinners because we're weird that way. But so I'm like, but we talk to the Amazon Echo. So we will.
So it's device-ish free.
So like, Madame A has a seat at the table, essentially, at our house. Because we're like, we'll sit there and we'll be arguing about something, and then suddenly...
You really use your echo. That's really interesting.
So your echo is the referee, basically.
Or when did this happen? Yeah. Or my daughter will come home and she'll be like, oh, I just learned this. And I'm like, no way, there are not 9 continents. And she's like, that's what they're telling me. So then we...
ask Madame A.
In a very brilliant move, Google actually announced something like 50... new Google Home or Google Assistant plugins, I don't know what Google calls them, for kids, for children.
I'm excited about those, yeah. My daughter and I, we play, okay, again, if you have a tween, Would You Rather on the Echo, we play that like nonstop. My daughter loves it. It's like, would you rather, you know, be Gwyneth Paltrow or Robert De Niro? This is a terrible example. And you pick one.
Before or after what's his name?
Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein.
For all we know, he hit on Robert De Niro too. You just don't know.
But so we play these games all the time, and she like loves it. So I think it's smart for Google to get in on all of this, because this is not a device. It's less addictive. It's a little bit more fun.
Yeah. And I think that's a strategy. This is not, oh my gosh, all this technology is destroying us. It's we swing one way in the pendulum and then we swing back. And people will realize, no, I need to balance. Because if I don't balance my life a little bit, I'm not going to make it to 50. And that's generally, if you look at the history of technology, it's not that we get rid of the technology that caused the imbalance in the first place. It's we figure out how to actually adapt it into our life and make it a healthy thing. I think that's where we are right now. Yeah.
And I think voice interfaces, Mike, are way healthier because it's those screens. That's the digital crack. And it's also bad for your eyes to look at screens for 18 hours a day. So if you're talking to a computer, it's like another person in the room, and it's much more natural. And your brain doesn't have to like completely focus all of its attention on the device.
Or if you have to look at screens for 18 hours a day, you could get some Felix Gray glasses. How do you think I look?
There you go. Hey, what a segue.
That was fancy.
I'm impressed.
Hey, why don't you try some Felix Grays on? Just see if you can see the difference. Let Stacy try some. Would you like to try some Felix Grays as well?
Of course.
Go ahead. Here you go. Felix Gray, no matter what you do for work, if you're staring at your phone or your computer or a screen a lot, you look good.
Look at that. You know, these are a little big for my face.
Oh, you want to trade? Because these are a little small for my face.
I think they're the same.
Yeah, those are too small for your face.
Those look good on you, Robert. You look like an intellectual priest.
I feel like that's the same thing.
There you go. Those are for Stacy. These are the small ones.
Okay.
They give me the wide ones because I have a giant, massive head.
All right.
That's good on you.
Okay.
What do you think?
Those are perfect for you, Leo. Those fit perfect.
This is my size. And let's see, Robert.
Come on, Robert.
You can tell he's a teacher.
Oh, yeah. Those look good.
So... These are more than just good-looking glasses, although they are Italian-made. They're very nice frames, Italian acetate, same stuff Versace uses and all of that. These are, you know, nice horn rim style. But they're much more than just what they look like. Because if you're looking at a screen all the time, you know that dries your eyes out, you get headaches, you get migraines, you get blurry vision. This is what you need to wear. These are specially designed for people looking at screens. They filter blue light. And by the way, it's not some coating on the glasses that filters the light. You'll see that sometimes. That makes them look strange to other people out there. It looks like you're wearing yellow glasses. These look completely clear. It's built into the optics of the lens itself. They eliminate glare. There's no telltale yellow tint or color distortion. They look great on you. They fit great. There's all sorts of kinds. This one, you might want to try this one. What model is this? I really like it. This is the Jemison. Oh, that's named after an astronaut. The Jemison.
Mae Jemison.
Mae
She's
Jemison.
Amazing.
C5. So isn't that cool? Mine's named after an astronaut. They're available both
in space.
Non-prescription and reading lenses. In fact, I would suggest I do this. I wear reading, and they have readers from 1.0 to 2.5. But I would suggest, even if you don't use readers, even if you're young, to add a tiny bit, like a quarter diopter magnification, 0.25 plus. And that helps. It makes the screen easier to read. I find it really reduces eye strain. All orders include free shipping and free returns, so you've got nothing to lose except that annoying eye strain. Give your eyes the break they deserve. Go to felixgrayglasses.com F-E-L-I-X-G-R-A-Y, glasses.com/twig, and try a pair of Felix Gray computer glasses. The smarter way. You look smarter, but you also, I'm telling you, by the end of the day, I don't wear glasses because of the reflection from the camera, but, you know, I might start doing this because it really makes a very, very big difference.
And they're anti-glare.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see any reflection, Leo.
Yeah, I could probably wear these, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll
look at mine. I have a terrible reflection with these.
That's why I stopped wearing glasses on TV. Yeah, because you can't, because you get that blue from the screen. So you don't see any reflection on my, let me.
No, look at that.
Okay. Well, if I look at the.
There's a little,
If I look at the lights up there, but not from the computer, which is, because I'm never going to really look up here. I'm going to look straight ahead.
If you master the angry librarian look.
I should master the angry librarian look.
Excuse me, are you children reading in here? Go outside and look at your screens.
Felix Gray, thank you for your support this week in Google. We are thrilled to have in studio Stacey Higginbotham all the way from Austin, Texas. Now, Stacey, because you were here, we arranged for Chipotle to bring in a ton of queso.
Oh, and Jeff isn't here, but I did. I tested the Chipotle queso.
He did not like it. He said it was grainy and floury.
So it was not gritty, which is what everyone told me.
Yes. I thought it was good.
It was not.
You have Austin.
I was like, it was not my favorite queso. I would not order this queso, but it was not gritty. Is that?
Don't worry. They're not a sponsor. You can say anything you want.
Well, no. I wasn't worried. I'm like, is that really a.
It's not gritty. Good
it's
news.
It's not gritty.
It ain't gritty, kids.
My phone doesn't explode.
I don't know if that's a ringing endorsement, really.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was good because, you really can't get good queso up here. If I were in Austin.
It's just melted Velveeta, you guys. Like 90.
No.
I mean,
oh,
I know that's
no,
not
really.
No, not the good stuff.
That's.
Yeah, the best queso in California is in Santa Barbara at a place called La Super Rica.
I will debate that. There's a really good place in San Jose that does queso.
All right, you're on.
Well.
You're on.
Oh, that's where I am tonight. Where's
the queso?
Wine taste
them both.
Down off of 101 and Story, there's like three or four shops there that do really, really good queso.
Are they Mexican food shops?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Oh, we have fabulous Mexican. It's different from the Tex-Mex that you get.
It's Cali-Mex, which basically means we're going to add an avocado.
No, this is not Cali-Mex. This is not fusion. This is Mexican food.
Oh, there you go. Interior Mexican food.
There you go. This story came out yesterday. Chipotle executives don't care that the chain's queso is being slammed as dumpster juice.
Wow.
Wow. That wasn't that bad.
No.
It's not dumpster juice. I don't think it's had anything to do with their stock going down 8% on Tuesday.
I love Chipotle. Food poisoning, all of that is.
I wasn't sure if you would. And I said, she's from Austin. I don't know if we should have Chipotle today.
Oh, no.
You liked it.
Well, okay. So I came after eating at Hobie's, and I had two pieces of coffee cake that were as big as my face.
Oh, yum, yum, yum.
So
yeah.
I'm not hungry so far on this show, which is unusual for me.
I know. Well, we still have an hour and a half to go.
Come for the food. Stay for the gastric explosion.
Chipotle reported queso actually added 6% to its sales when the menu item launched nationally in September.
That's all that counts.
So somebody's eating it. Many people's problems with Chipotle queso is the texture.
That's
the gritty.
There you go.
So it wasn't gritty like I was told it was.
Or a different kind of gritty.
I didn't taste the grit.
Analysts warn, this is from CNBC, queso might not be enough to stabilize Chipotle's margins. Analysts warn, that is a headline you don't really expect on CNBC. But there it is.
Queso is not enough to stabilize anything until it gets to that gooey cold stage.
Until,
you don't want to eat stabilizing
queso. Apple queso will be amazing.
Apple queso is going to be the best queso ever.
Magical.
Oh, sure, others have done queso.
They're gonna grow their own cows and milk it and get the optimal.
What do you think all that empty space in the middle of the spaceship is for?
Exactly.
It's a queso farm.
It will also, cut the grass for eco-friendly, keep it on the Greenpeace list.
We got to figure it out. So I'm just looking at queso recipes.
I also don't think Chipotle has the best chips, but and your chip experience is crucial to your queso experience.
I don't particularly like anything at Chipotle, but
oh my gosh, my daughter's listening to Twit Live.
Hi Stacy's daughter Anna.
Thank you for knowing that you watch YouTube too much.
I bet she asked Madam A to play it. She
on
said,
the show?
"Madam A, listen to my mommy on Twit." I wonder if that would work. I bet
that's
it would.
A new skill.
No. Madam A is not that smart. Google might.
Google knows who your mommy is. That's for sure.
Google's like, oh yes,
I know who your mother is.
if I Google like, oh, Kevin and I were doing this. If I Google Stacy's dog, Stacy Higginbotham's dog, pictures of my dog come up.
Really?
Oh, no. That's when you know you've gone too far.
Exactly.
Wow.
But if you Google Kevin Toefel's dog, it doesn't come up because Norm is named. So you have to Google Kevin Toefel Norm.
Hey, John, could you bring me the Invoke? Because we did get a new. Could you bring me the Invoke? It's on my desk. This is the new Harman Kardon competitor, but it's not. It's not Madame A, nor is it Siri. It's Cortana.
No, Microsoft works with Madame A.
There will be some Madame A features, yeah, but I don't know how much. Actually, Cortana ain't bad. It's just why I don't understand why you would spend $200 on a Cortana, dedicated Cortana device, if you could get an Echo for $40, if you could get a Google for $50. And Apple's going to have its HomePod at some point. You know, all I need is some power because it's got a short cord. It's kind of, so you want to look at the industrial design first, I guess. It's very masculine and kind of, it's metal, dark.
Yeah, that's very much a Harman Kardon
Star Wars look.
Yeah, Star Wars. Yeah. They do make a silver one. That's the only designer colors they have. Okay, would you do me the honor? And,
they had a floor standing version of this at IFA 2 years ago that was like $3,000.
Floor standing? You mean like a tall one?
Uh-huh.
Wow. It's a pretty good speaker.
If you put it on wheels, it would be awesome.
I'm curious what you all will think of it compared to, say, the Echo Show, which I think has the best single-unit speakers for Amazon.
This is now an HP brand, correct?
No, it's owned by Samsung.
Samsung.
Although, for all I know, Samsung owns HP, so it could be. I don't know.
No, not yet.
And you see it has the little, inside it has a little light that's rotating the thinking.
Now, I've never spoken to Cortana.
Would you like to?
Speaking to the other voice assistants, except she's more lonely.
Hey, Cortana, let's listen to some music.
Or not.
Don't you have to, like, set it up?
Gotta boot up.
It's still booting.
That's like Microsoft.
Yeah. Well, they want to bring the Windows experience to the digital assistant.
It may be joining the Wi-Fi. It's true. It may have. It made that sound, though, like it
had. It did, right. It thinks it's ready. I think you have to hit it harder.
Oh!
I can be your DJ.
Oh, I was right! It worked!
Hey, Cortana, listen to some music.
Okay, here's the latest episode from the podcast. Windows Weekly on TuneIn.
Mary Jo Foley. We're
this is, not music.
This is my favorite music. I jam out to this in the car.
Every time you ask for music.
Hey, Cortana.
New hardware Cortana. From Microsoft. Finally, the release.
Hey, Cortana. Stop. Why did it do that? Hey, Cortana, listen to my mommy on Twit Live.
Okay. And now, the latest episode from the podcast, TwitBits on TuneIn.
Solve it.
That's not my mommy.
The problem is you want a simple data
show title. Therod is my mommy.
Hey, Cortana. Hey, Cortana. Stop. Let me get some music. Hey, Cort. Go ahead. You do it.
Hey, Cortana. Play Beyonce.
All right.
She sounds
sorry. I can't play music on TuneIn right now.
Oh, it's only TuneIn.
Oh, you choose TuneIn, Spotify, or iHeartRadio as a weird limited thing.
So only those things?
And as far as I can tell, you could choose one only of those.
Oh, Spotify.
Hey, Cortana, listen to KLLC Radio.
All right. Tuning in to Radio Disney, KLLC HD3 on TuneIn.
Well, what do you think? It sounds okay.
Hey, look, Cortana may get things wrong a lot, but her fails are super high fidelity.
Paul Theroux is my mommy? That's good bass.
That's quite good.
It's a little muddy.
It's tubby. Yeah.
Okay. Like, I'm not an audiophile.
But they emphasize the bass, that's why. High end sounded good, too.
It sounds better than the Echo.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hey, Cortana, stop. Anyway, that's $200. That's a direct competitor price-wise. Actually, no, because...
It's a direct competitor to the Sonos One.
Sonos One, which I have at home. I don't have here. That is a... It's not a full Amazon Echo. There, it won't do everything a standalone Echo will do. But, of course, it integrates into your Sonos. It sounds better than this. I think even though it's like a Play One Sonos, it sounds better than this. It sounds really pretty good.
So we shouldn't buy this, is what I'm hearing.
I don't see why anyone would buy it, because unless you're like so all in on the Windows ecosystem that you want Cortana, for instance, you can have it. You can have it. She lit up when I said that. You could have it add to your calendar, your Outlook calendar, things like that. So it integrates with Office 365.
Build better. My keynote presentation.
Yeah, except that it's PowerPoint. But other than that.
Oh, PowerPoint presentation.
I'm sorry,
Cortana.
I'm sorry, Stacey. I can't do that. Hey, Cortana, play Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley.
It won't do that. All right.
I like how it goes, all right. All right.
Now, if 15 minutes from now she starts playing it, that would be an amazing
That would be Rick rolling her. That's great. You brought another toy, too. Do you want to save that for your pick, or do you want to show it now?
Oh, we can show it now. Okay. Why not? So you actually took a look at this on Tech Guy a few weeks back.
Yeah.
This is Anker's new Nebula.
So Anker, we all know, a Chinese company, and we actually really like them for aftermarket accessories like batteries. But this is the first time they've done like a real product.
Right. So this is a collaboration with another company that they wanted to take their battery tech. So this is entirely portable. They're touting this as a theater quality portable battery powered projector. Mm. And it's actually really good. It's Android powered.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you can stream directly from the unit. You know, just opening up the little lens is going to start it up. So this, yeah, I'll just pass this over to you. Now, there's a couple of things I really like about this.
The fan is on. It's on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's warming up. One of the things. Oh, yeah. You may not want to look directly into the lens. That's going to be kind of bright.
Should have worn those glasses.
This will do its auto skew and auto tilt. One of the hardest things to do with a projector is get it to match right.
Right.
It actually detects its angle, and it will automatically fix the picture.
Oh,
I like
no.
That's
pretty
nice.
Cool.
I need
really
that on
like
tables
that.
At restaurants.
Okay, this is getting kind of creepy. It's
Apple face recognition phase two.
Here, do you need a this thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, give me a thing. Let's project it on this thing.
Yeah. Now, I just got this yesterday, but I want to do things like, you know, take it out in the middle of a field because it's actually very, very bright, way brighter. This is definitely not a Pico projector. This is more like a home theater projector. It's a little expensive. It's $600.
Oh, it's actually adjusting the focus. I probably shouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Oh, no, you're that's the thing. Yeah, it'll autofocus. It will auto skew.
Back there. Yeah. Maybe we can get it back on. Yeah, see, there we go.
How long's the battery life on that?
That's a good question. So that's going to depend on the brightness and how you use the features. It has built-in Wi-Fi, so you could just do use this as a standalone and play, say, Netflix.
Corgi videos.
Yeah. Or Corgi videos. A lot of Corgi videos.
How did you know he loves Corgi videos?
Oh, I love Corgi videos.
We've got the Twitters.
Uh-oh. Wow, you guys.
It's even though it's a decent sized unit, I can't see this lasting for more than 3 hours on the battery if you're using
it. It's heavy,
the
so
features.
There's a big battery. You know, that's probably a 15,000 milliamp hour.
So it won't get you through all of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, but it would get you through one?
Precisely.
More
precisely.
Than enough.
But I got to say, just in like the 2 or 3 hours that I've been playing with this thing, I'm impressed. The Android integration is really well done. It's not just Android slapped onto a projector. It actually works. The controls are intuitive. The quality is really, really good, even if you're projecting on a non-projection surface. And one of the other cool things about this is the fact that, you know, they want this to be a portable unit, and it's actually really durable. One of the things I'm always concerned about when I'm carrying a projector is one good bump and you've destroyed the optics. This thing, I already dropped it off a table. I wouldn't do it again, but it's still working. Sorry, Anker. You're reviewing it's going to have a ding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, $600, not bad.
Yeah. I totally need that. We don't have a TV because we're always traveling. We watch all of our TV and movies on a laptop.
Yeah, that'll do
totally.
It.
Yeah.
Seriously, the other night I did, what was it, a 25-foot wall in our gym, and it looked great.
Really?
Wow. Mm. HDMI, do you know what the native specs are for the video?
It does 1080, so it'll do full HD. Okay. I think it'll actually take 4K, but I think the sensor's only 1080.
Yeah.
Unlike, see, this is how I know a company isn't used to having a lot of complicated products, Anchor didn't send out like the reviewer sheet.
The spec sheet?
The spec sheet. They just assumed that you'd go get it, which is, I kind of find that refreshing. They didn't have a PR person. They literally sent me the unit and they said,
Wi-Fi
we'd like to know what you think about this.
It wants to join our Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I have.
Because that is Android. So, in effect, you can use its own user interface.
Yeah, you don't need to connect this
thing. Does it have a remote control?
It does.
So, you could stream Netflix on this directly from it.
Correct.
Wow. That's kind of neat. That's really kind of neat.
It's very well made. I saw the prototype of this at CES.
Roland is saying in our chat room, 1280 by 800. So, it's a 720p DLP in here.
That's it.
3,000 lumens, that's a lot for something this small.
If someone came up to you, you could be like, get
a
light.
Yeah, that's
it kind of
really
does
good.
Look like the town crier light type thing.
Yeah. All's well, 10 o'clock, time to go to bed with your sheep.
There you go.
It's not bad, huh?
Oh, no, that's like...
That's party time at the...
that's like 5 pounds. Higginbothams.
Yeah.
All right.
How much?
$599,
$600. And is it out now?
It is out now. You could buy them on Amazon. And actually, Anchor, I think, sent two of them to us because Anthony got one for the studio and they sent this one to me. So
we were going to review it for the new screensavers. So we got.
It's definitely going into our holiday gift list.
This is nice.
It's also going into my pocket after the show. I just bought one.
Oh, Leo.
That would be nice to have at home, I think.
Actually,
That's a nice thing to have, like for a backyard.
Yeah,
you know, summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Want to watch a movie outside?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going someplace that has a huge, huge wall.
The Vatican?
Yes.
China?
That's my new China.
He's gonna put it on the Sistine ceiling. Oh, Michelangelo never imagined.
Well, the roof of my house, I can see the Sistine Chapel and St. Peter's, so I could just project over the distance.
So if you ever go to
Rome,
and
then get kicked out of the Vatican, and then I can come back to Twit.
Got it.
He's got the keys to Rome.
Oh, yeah. By the way, if you ever do stop by Rome, Mike, you're welcome to stay. Our house.
At the Vatican?
Yes. It is literally a 3-minute walk to St. Peter's.
But you is this your Jesuit party house or is this your house?
Jesuit party house.
The house was designed for like 800 people.
Many people don't know it, but the Society of Jesus is actually a frat.
Well, that's why he's like, you're welcome to stay at our house. I'm like, what's happening here?
It's
a
very
quiet
frat.
I was kind of an intellectual somber.
We keep there on our property, there's a building that is apartments for any of our lay visitors. So
okay.
Jesuits don't stay there. It's actually a separate building on the compound, and it's a 3-minute walk to St. Peter's.
Nice,
huh? But he won't be there till September. Don't get your hopes all up.
And also, Mike, just remember... the building was created in the 1700s, so...
There's no toilets.
Wi-Fi is terrible.
I was going to say bad Wi-Fi and...
Just FYI.
All right. Let's see. Google is apparently having trouble getting the white Pixel 2s out. They are pushing out... They're pushing back some of the orders... And offering a free live case as a compensation.
Hey!
Oh, how about that?
So you're lucky you got yours. That's nice. I thought I didn't even ask. That's beautiful.
That's really
but you
nice.
Didn't get the panda one, so you don't have the orange. That's only
I
in
wanted,
the
it was only on XL? The XL. And I'm very sad because I love orange like nobody
does. That's what I ordered, but it won't be for weeks that I get it. So
there's still something
pretty.
I kind of like white.
And by the way, this is a metal back, but they've done a soft touch paint on it, which I think is quite nice.
It was very fancy.
You like that color? I think you're happy with it.
Oh,
you don't
ever
see it.
I didn't care. Like, I actually wanted the blue one.
I've never felt the squeeze thing. That's actually, I like that.
It works.
That's
It's
cool.
Really nice.
So there are some delays on the one you got, but you got it. Several people who bought the Pixel 2 with an October ship date only to have that date slip to November are being offered a case as compensation.
Dang, and I paid $40 for mine.
The case of the missing Google phone. Did
but
you get the
does
buds?
Does that really
the
make
pods,
up for it?
The Google
yes,
bot,
yeah, I thought
bugs?
You said, did you get the bugs? I was like, yes, I told you about the ticking. I did get the...
The Google bugs.
The boot.
Google pods. Bro pods.
No, what are they? They're Pixel pods.
Pixel buds.
Pixel buds.
Pixel buds.
The P buds.
Pixel bros.
I keep thinking of marijuana, so I'm like, no. But
you are in California.
Pixel buds. But... I need actually a decent pair of Bluetooth headphones that are not like crazy
to compare
expensive.
With them.
Well, also just because I don't have any, and I've only had this for like 3 days, and I keep misplacing my dongle everywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm just like,
Dongle is not a good solution.
And it looks so stupid. Your phone has this tail.
By the way, I'm sure that the handful of case makers that decided to make cases for this phone are thrilled. Google's handing them out.
Pick one up today for free. We have a couple of Bluetooth. Sorry, I'm just logging into my
LastPass.
Yeah, so I can get into Amazon.
The most secure broadcaster on the internet.
I am. Did you turn on the app advanced protection for your Google account?
I turned it on for a account, not for my account, because I found it incredibly annoying.
It's pretty intrusive. The showstopper for me was it doesn't work with Linux, and a lot of my machines are Linux. Let me show you the Bluetooth that we like, and I think you would like. This is from JLab. The Audio Epic 2, and it's not too well. It's $100. That's not cheap.
Okay, because I lose my headphone. Like I'm a $50 headphone kind of person.
There are Bluetooth. There's good Bluetooth. Let me see if I can find another.
Most of my headsets come from the plane, the ones that they hand out.
You keep those?
I keep. I'm kind of cheap, but advanced protection. By the way, this is the little fob that Google
suggests.
You got
a dongle, yeah.
Right. So this combined with a Yubico key. That's what you need so that you can be on your laptop, your desktop, your mobile device.
That's tough.
Yeah, this is a little...
Well, you don't need them both at any given time. Oh. You either use one for the YubiKey or... I need two FIDO UTF devices, one that's a USB and one that's Bluetooth. And so I have it too, and I turned it on and then I turned it off because you also have to use Chrome.
Yep.
Doesn't work with Linux, although I suspect they'll fix that.
And one other issue... I don't normally associate turning on Bluetooth with adding security to a device.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is all right. It's sending a one-time only code from that little DigiPass.
Oh, right. Well, I'm not worried about them intercepting this communications. I mean, if you turn on the Bluetooth device.
Yeah, you can turn it off again.
Yeah. That's not great.
It's like, what can I help you
with? I lost my YubiKey.
Oh, wait, in there?
No, I have it with me. I carry it around at all the time.
This
I
is the problem.
His pocket. Now I'm logging. Yeah. Hold on. I'm logging into Leo's account right now.
I am Leo Laporte.
I usually have it handcuffed via this chain.
It's not a purse. It's European.
It's a European carry-all.
It's a man bag.
And if you lose it, which I may have done, getting into your account, there is a manual process, as there always has been, but it's more astringent than it was before.
You have to spit into a tube so it can check your DNA against 23andMe.
Will you turn on the super secret authentication on your Google account?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Well, also, I should point out, if you turn on two-factor on your Google account, you get many of the same benefits. The most secure thing it does is the most inconveniencing thing, which is it doesn't allow third-party apps to use your Google account. So all of your... you're using an Android device, but if you use an iPhone, Apple Mail won't work, Apple Calendar won't work, mm-hmm. Apple Contacts won't work on your iPhone. You have to use all Google stuff.
Right.
And for some people, that would be a showstopper as well. But that's probably the main reason it's more secure is that no malicious third-party app or Chrome extension can hook into your Google account. You know, they have to get past this as well. So it's in that respect, it's for John Podesta at the Democratic National Committee.
That's what they said. That's why they created this.
If you never leave your house, you're much safer, which is kind of this whole idea.
Well, we talked about this with Steve Gibson, and the whole idea is if you enable great protection and great security, and yet it's incredibly convenient, it's not really great security.
It's the Rapunzel problem.
Yep. Exactly. It's security theater.
I'm not looking in his pocket.
This is inconvenient enough where it actually does add security. And in order to add security, I'm sorry, folks, but you're going to have to add inconvenience. That's just how that works.
I found them.
Clunk, clunk, clunk. So this is why they don't let me in the studio.
There's a YubiKey, and then I have the Wasco DigiPass, which is similar to what you have as a Bluetooth. You need the Bluetooth because iPhones don't have any USB connector. So you need that for Bluetooth devices. It works with phones and stuff, too.
You have surprisingly few fobs on your key. Like, I've got a fob for my car. I've got it for getting into my daughter's school. I've got fobs for, like, the gym.
I have more fobs.
If I had one of those, I'm like...
I have, on the other end of that chain, I have a lot more fobs. Yeah, I have a ton of fobs. This is, like, the must-have stuff. Anyway,
it's life of
fobs. You could just switch between fobs.
I have a blue
then
one.
It's not secure.
That's my Tesla key. Yeah.
Somebody sent me this silicone case for the Tesla key. Must have sent you one too.
No, we bought ours because my husband the leather case was just too big.
Yeah.
It was like too much.
Yeah. So
does it transform?
And the Tesla key assumes that you know what it does because it looks like the car. So they don't have any legend on it. Mm-hmm. This has a legend on it. This was a listener who says, thanks to you, I can now make Tesla silicone Tesla fobs.
Oh, covers. Okay.
And I do have a tracker on that, by the way. Just letting you know.
It's also in the car.
I got a tracker pixel on it. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You can't steal a Tesla.
No,
yeah. I mean, you,
oh, you can for a couple minutes.
Well, no, there actually was a big thieving ring in Europe where they would actually disable the GPS and then pop them on trucks and then sell them for parts, basically.
Like rip out the GPS.
I don't know if it was ripping out or if they were using a...
don't tell me about this.
What are those things called that they put in movie theaters? Jammers?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah,
Actually,
you could do that. You could just wrap the GPS unit in Mylar.
Yeah, that's true. I used to live in a Faraday cage, and it was awesome, you guys.
Leo.
Did you?
It was my house. It was stuck.
Not intentionally.
you had one of those houses that had like a mesh
in
the walls.
It was chicken wire, basically, in the walls. And yes,
that's great for Wi-Fi, by the way.
It was a fun
Do you guys
thing.
Remember Orson Bean?
Did he write a bunch of science fiction
novels? You don't remember him, no. That's Orson Scott Card.
Oh, okay, sorry.
He was a regular on To Tell the Truth. It's a different Orson Bean.
What is To Tell the Truth?
Nope. No, not that Orson Bean? Never mind. You don't want me to show orgone boxes? He was really into this kind of crank concept developed by Wilhelm Reich in the 30s called the orgone energy accumulator. It was basically a box with metal walls.
Okay.
And I think they may be coming back.
Oh, you can actually buy these. So telco companies, there's a lot of these.
Well, it doesn't do the same thing that the orgone box was. It was seen as a massless, orgone was a massless, omnipresent substance like luminiferous ether.
It's a tinfoil hat for your whole body.
Yes.
So they're octo, I think, is it octo cages? So if you go into like any telco test lab,
right.
Or
yeah.
Wi-Fi.
They have to have them.
Yeah. It's an anechoic chamber for
RF.
RF.
So now they make them small, though, which is super fun. So you could actually buy one. They're still like $30,000. But
I'm surprised no one has offered one of these as a super, super wealthy luxury item.
Like
I mean, they make hyperbaric chambers, right.
So you do that so the EMF people...
Yeah, you sleep EMF-free, completely EMF-free.
Well, ironically, the FDA banned the Orgo box.
There's probably a good reason. Well, yeah, because you're living in a box.
Well, no, it's harmless. Sealed. You just spend an hour a day in that. It's not
wait,
like...
Wait, that was like a therapeutic thing?
Yeah.
Well, that's why the FDA
banned it. But I'm telling you, this is basically a Faraday cage, right? I mean, it's a little more than you need, but it does the job.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it with just mesh. You can actually see through
it. Yeah, Faraday cage is just copper mesh, yeah. The reason I know about this is when I was a kid, we moved from Rhode Island to Santa Cruz, the hippie capital of the world. We bought a house that used to be an organic farm in Santa Cruz, and they had an orgone chamber in the master bedroom. And we thought, well, that's interesting. We got rid of it. I wish we'd saved it.
We built a Faraday cage for Interop one year.
Did you really?
We did. And it's actually expensive.
Copper is
very pricey. Yeah.
The copper mesh
that
you
actually
need.
That's why you steal it from established electrical wiring.
Right. That's what I do.
You know, that was a problem in Hawaii. They kept stealing the copper. So what they did was they actually irradiated it. Not to be dangerous, but if someone brings the copper to a recycling center, they'll detect that it's radioactive and they won't buy it.
Oh, it's like marking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Huh.
So were they so radioactive that you would be, if you lived in the house, would you want a...
No, it just means
they wouldn't recycle it because if they drop that into their vats, it would irradiate whatever else is in there and it'd make it all.
It'd be like a granite countertop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Granite countertops emit small bits of radiation.
Yeah, they are radioactive. Or bananas.
Bananas are radioactive?
Yeah, potassium.
Oh. Oh,
I think you've lost control of the show.
Okay, back to Google. Sorry.
It's like herding cats.
Wait, what were we talking about? Radioactive
bananas? Really? Potassium?
Yeah, potassium.
Is it slightly radioactive?
It's slightly radioactive.
So if I had a Geiger counter, it would not register?
If you had a sensitive Geiger counter, it would.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just started them up again, didn't I?
Sorry.
You know, Google is using national search data.
Halloween costumes?
To help people pick Halloween costumes. They did this last year, didn't they? It's called the Costume Wizard.
I go as a priest every year.
Go to frightgeist.withgoogle.com. Me three.
I've got a lot of these in the room over there.
Do you have any nun outfits? Because I could be a nun.
I actually probably don't, but I can find one.
So, I have gone as a nun, and not the sexy nun, the normal nun.
I want to go as the shame nun from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
She's naked.
No.
Oh, the one behind her with the bell. You want to just go, yeah, just want to rock around and go, shame,
shame.
Shame.
I'll go as the twit nut. Twit.
So the number one nationally, the number one costume nationally is Wonder Woman.
Of course.
Number one, there's a frighteningly high chance you will see a Wonder Woman costume on Halloween this year.
Not all of them will be women.
Search the most in Parkersburg, West Virginia, Bozeman, Montana, Abilene, Texas, Great Falls, Montana, and Utica,
that's
New York.
A hard costume, though. I mean, not a lot of people can pull off that look.
11% of all costume searches will be cartoon characters. Harley Quinn back again this year, number two with a bullet.
I feel like you could do that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's easy to do.
Did you see that bug crawling across my screen?
Oh, was that on the webpage?
I hope to God that was on the webpage.
Okay, clown or it clown?
I think it's an it
clown. Pennywise. I think it's
there's that bug again. I hate it. That is creepy. Pennywise.
The most topical costume that I've seen, and I saw it today and posted it on Twitter, is sexy fake news.
And what does it look like? Let me wait a minute. I gotta find out.
Can we get Jeff
News? Don't show my screen until we actually.
I know, right? Sorry, Google, can't trust you on this.
Oh,
one.
I like it.
Oh well, yeah. I don't. That's not really a costume.
But what if I wore that?
Then that's a costume.
that would be fake news.
And you need to tell us if you're going to do that.
That does not show up on the Costume Wizard site, I'm afraid.
Oh, so Wonder Woman's number one in Austin, but Michael Myers still number one in Victoria, Texas.
You know, the classics sometimes. Yeah. You just got to go with the classics.
Now, you can go local. I'm gonna switch to local because I bet you here in Petaluma, there are going to be some different things going on.
I'm surprised there's no Pokemon on that list.
Yeah.
Pokemon. Was that a last year thing?
So superhero is the number one category in some part of California, but I can't tell. And its national rank is 14. Superhero.
Like just generic superhero?
Just superhero. Like Wonder Woman doesn't count as that?
Why is mouse number five? What kind of costume is a mouse?
Because it's just face paint and some whiskers.
And
I saw a costume that was somebody dressed up as what did you call him, Stacey? Madam A?
Madam A. Oh, that would be good.
Oh, that's witty. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That's cool.
Just to walk around like this.
And then you're always asking you questions.
People have to ask.
Asking to play music.
Pirate. So it's Harley Quinn, Wonder Woman, Harley Quinn, clown, unicorn, rabbit, witch, mouse, pirate, zombie, dinosaur, princess, Moana. Moana.
Ooh. Why not Maui? I could pull off Maui.
You could do Maui. You'd be great. And just all you have to do is sound like The Rock.
Except I don't know if I want to be walking around at a 45-degree night.
Come to Texas. Halloween night is warm.
So, that's true. I know clown was number
three. You're actually in Maui.
You
can do it.
Yep. But it is number 16. A lot of people.
Okay, so that's separate from clown.
Yeah, no, I think that's
I bet a lot of people are going as clown, unless they're going as that big spider it at the very end of the book. Right. Sorry to spoil it.
I'm
going to
go as Kelly Wise. I think
Batman's always.
Batman, yeah. Bell.
Skeleton.
It's sad how many Disney characters are
1980s.
No, I'm going to go as the 1980s. What the hell is that?
What?
Wait a minute, I'm going to find that.
That's Let's see. 32. It's ranked number 32.
Costume.
So some guy with one of those really big cell phones taped to the side of his head. Oh, okay. Like Valley Girl.
Cindy Lauper, yeah.
Okay.
That's a pretty good costume, actually.
Actually, I would. You could do Data from the Goonies. I'd love to bring the Goonies back.
Physical. Let me hear your body talk.
Oh, number 40 is something I went as 1 year. A chicken.
You'd be perfect here in Petaluma.
This is the chicken capital of the world.
Oh, who knew?
Yeah. So that's a great marketing.
Oh, in Houston, Texas, which is where I grew up, is one of the, for being a chicken, it is searched the most
in. One of the top places.
It's number three.
It's really big in Houston.
So how do they get this data? I need to know this.
It's when I searched Fox costume the other day for my daughter.
Yeah.
And they look at my IP address, I'm assuming, and they just say, Austin, Texas. Someone searched for Fox.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that what she's going to be, a fox?
She is going as a fox, yes.
That's an interesting choice.
Last year she went as a snow leopard.
Oh, so she's really wildlife focused.
There's a lot, yes. Her birthday presents are like, donate to WWF.
Fox, you can get like a nose, like a
she
fox
She doesn't like
nose.
Math, so and she doesn't like paint. So she's got ears, the tail.
We've got Victor here, and Victor, his kid is thinking years ahead. So this year he's going as Goku from Dragon Ball.
Oh.
And then next year he's going as Ken from Street Fighter, which it's basically the same kind of costume. You know, reuse it.
I don't know who this is. I think it's. Oh, it's not on my page here. Wait a minute. I want to just ask you because I think it's. I think it's Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet
Sweeney
Street.
Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
Oh,
I'm so sorry, you guys.
It's not here either. Where there it is. Okay.
The trouble with poets this is what you'll Michael, never know it's deceased.
This is what Michael is going
Stick
as.
Priest.
That's Halloween, Michael Myers, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Jason. Jason.
Jason.
Yes?
Right, he's got a chain.
Thank you.
It's you know why? Because he's been playing that Friday the 13th game.
Oh.
That's the
oh,
hockey mask,
no, I don't
Jason.
Like that one.
That's a scary
oh.
game. I shouldn't let a 14-year-old play that game.
You shouldn't let him walk around carrying an axe.
Yeah, but it's an axe. We see, it has a red edge on it, so the police know that it's not a real axe.
Don't all axes? Like, what axes have?
That's what he told me.
I don't know if that works. at night in the dark,
they put the orange edge on it so the police won't shoot you. I think that's what they do. No. The kids today. No, am I wrong? All right. I don't know. Should we just go on? Now you see, yeah. Stacey, why we get you to dinner so late every week.
I'm like, I'm on the show. I'm just not physically here. I'm aware of what's happening.
Yeah, but you're not. It's different when you're here.
This is like why she asked for the button, remember?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I do. I should have an this is enough button. But that doesn't need to punch anyone in the face.
Maybe just a light.
Like a move on. You could have a move on button.
Ooh.
Move on. Yeah.
We should do that.
That would be fun. Yeah. All right.
Or for a remote guest like Mike, when he wants to come in, he can tap it and there you go.
That's right. And mute all of you. That'd be awesome.
Why are you clapping?
One quick thing before we move off the subject of Halloween-y type stuff. The nexus of scary things and Silicon Valley, they're actually making a movie about the Winchester Mystery House.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Starring Helen Mirren, and it's actually, they're playing it up as like a scary movie. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with this place, it's a place in San Jose near Los Gatos where the woman who inherited all the money from the Winchester Rifle Company lived and basically went crazy. And she was racked with
building.
Guilt.
She couldn't stop building.
She was racked with guilt over people killed
this is
by
an actual place.
Winchester Rifles. Yeah, it's a real place. You can go and visit it. You pay $5 and you can take a tour. And so she kept building weird things to confuse the ghosts who were coming after her.
You have doors that you open and then it just drops off of a second story.
Stairs go right into the ceiling, like all this weird stuff.
I've spent a lot of time there and it's fun. It's weird.
As a Halloween place, it is awesome.
Yeah.
It inspired one of the American Horror Story
seasons. Okay, yeah.
So there you go. I was like, I have read about this in the context
Helen Mirren, this actually doesn't sound scary. It just sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Are they going to make it scary?
They are. Just keep watching. There's
ghouls and ghosties.
No.
See, there's all the Winchester rifles that she inherited the fortune from. There's Charlton Heston in that's a different one.
This thing was right next to the theater complex that I would always go to as a kid.
Yes, right. Yeah. Right, the domes. That's where I saw Star Wars for the first time. They are.
I think they knocked them down.
Yeah, it's right next to it, yeah.
Don't. You're going to do
those
jump
candles
scare.
Are getting,
I hate this.
That was it right there. 500 rooms, spirits, souls, demons, ghosts, entities, apparitions, shadows, beings, devil, wraith, specters.
I was impressed. That's pretty good.
They have a good thesaurus. Yeah.
They do. They all mean the same thing, but they just said it in 12 different ways.
Trailer director looked at a thesaurus.
I have a thesaurus, and I'm not afraid to use it. Amazon looking for a new headquarters. 238 cities applying.
It's getting shameless.
And some of the methods, a little strange. This is Calgary. Graffiti. Hey, Amazon, we lost our rain jacket in 1988. Oh, well.
Are they saying it's sunny in Calgary?
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
Do better.
On October 18th, all the lights in New York City went orange.
For Amazon?
No. Yeah, Amazon orange to show support for the city's official
their
bid.
Their color is orange?
I didn't know that, but did you? But apparently New York
does. I guess,
does.
Yeah. If you look like the AWS and the Amazon logo, there's always orange in
there. I thought that was yellow, and also I thought it was blue because Madam A does blue.
You know, my favorite story about the whole Amazon headquarters search is what San Jose did. They did a study, and they said, look, it's not going to pay off.
Don't do it. Don't come here.
They decided we're not going to do this because 50,000 jobs sounds very tempting until you look at the cost of the 50,000 jobs.
But there were some reverse psychology. What was the town, Karsten, that did the Amazon reverse psychology? Like, Amazon, we decided don't come here. We showed it on the new screensavers on Saturday. Raleigh. Was it Raleigh? I don't remember.
All I know is Amazon Rome would be an awesome second headquarters.
Rome. Amazon Austin. That way I can sell the house.
This is Kansas City. There's a really big thing about... Let me turn on the sound.
Oh, boy. Pretty cool.
He's opening a bunch of Amazon boxes.
Council.
The mayor.
Okay, he's explaining all the reasons why Prime is a bad idea for some people.
Yeah. 1,000 products purchased and reviewed. Every review, a reason for Amazon to move to Kansas City. Tell Amazon. So I guess the idea
is... telling the citizens.
Citizens. To... Sly James, the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri.
I mean, that's nice, but come on. Amazon's going to
choose... No, he wrote 1,000 reviews.
Oh.
He wrote 1,000 reviews. And each review had a line promoting Kansas City, like, I live in beautiful Kansas City where the average home price is just $122,000.
And now he's banned for life on Amazon.
You could buy 1,000 reviews for about $1.25 each, just FYI.
But the mayor really cares.
He really does.
Hey, and KC got Google Fiber, so, well, unless it's Kansas City, if it's Kansas City, Missouri, not Kansas City, Kansas.
Kansas City, Kansas.
Kansas City, Kansas.
It's actually really fast. We have a house there that got Google Fiber. They weren't going to get it until I kept telling them, do it. Just pay the fee.
So that is a Jesuit party house.
That is a Jesuit party
house. Because you got super fast internet.
It is super, super. I put a server there just so I could hit it when I need to.
Oh, this is Frisco, Texas. Do you know where? That's nearby, right?
No.
No? Isn't that, it's like just outside
of... It's outside of Dallas. Dallas.
This you can call Frisco.
Oh, I don't know what's going on.
Just don't call San Francisco Frisco.
Well, I thought, and that's what's, when I first saw it, I don't know why it's...
So, well, their internet speed is not super fast.
Yes, that's exactly
they
why
need
you
to host
shouldn't
that
go
on
there.
AWS,
yeah,
so.
No kidding.
Austin is in the running, and except for our transportation woes, would be a good place.
I really hope this goes to a smaller town.
You said no to really Lyft and Uber now?
We got them back because our state legislature decided that
that's
local
overturned.
Governments overruled. Can't make their own rules.
Overruled.
Keep it weird, Austin.
Yep.
There is a very nasty...
we're talking about Reaper. I was going to use the Amazon segue to talk about the Amazon key.
Go ahead, Amazon key, and then we'll talk about Reaper.
Okay.
Boy, you can read my mind. That's good. Oh, Amazon key.
So Amazon key is this smart security camera plus a connected lock, which I love connected locks for me. They're Quickset or Yale. And
I hate this idea so much.
Amazon, basically, you can let... people, Amazon delivery people or Amazon service providers that contract through Amazon into your house, even if you're not there.
They can get in. There's a special like lock that they have a key to.
It's actually not a special. I mean, it's not super special. It's a Yale or Quickset.
Oh, it's one of them Bluetooth.
I think it's actually going to be locks. A Zigbee lock.
And that looks like a Nest cam, but it's not, is it?
No. All cameras kind of have that look.
Yeah. So that way you can monitor them, what they're doing when they come in your house.
Well, it's to give you that peace of mind, like, there's an Amazon person coming in and dropping off a package.
Yeah. You know, the mail, U.S. mail has a similar system, a two-key system where...
they do?
Yeah, but not into your house. They into like the big mailbox.
The box at the end of the block.
Yeah. Oh, ours gets broken into all the time.
Yeah.
Well, this one, so if you've got a package, there's a larger box at the bottom of the mailbox pallet. Mm-hmm. And they put the key in your box, you put it in, and you remove your package. Yeah. Now, this actually makes sense.
Would you let people do this?
I would. I have that lock. So, like, it doesn't unfortunately fit on my front door, but it fits on my garage door. So, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Usually it's a UPS or FedEx driver, right? Sometimes it's U.S. Postal Service.
And sometimes it's an Amazon driver.
Not anymore.
I have Amazon drivers show up
all
the time.
You have actual labeled Amazon drivers, right?
Their trucks usually aren't labeled, but they are Amazon. Huh.
They started up a new project, the first in India, but it's now on the west coast of the United States, called Project Seller Flex. And this was a way to make the third-party seller experience on Amazon more like the Amazon Prime experience. What they're going to do is they're taking UPS and FedEx out of that part of the transit equation. Now, people are speculating that this means that eventually they want to remove FedEx and UPS entirely, which means they're going to have their own drivers.
Right. So that is one of the caveats on this new Amazon delivery service. Right. You can only use Amazon's own delivery team. So it may not be appropriate for me because I have never seen an Amazon delivery team. $250, you get the, if you want, the bundle that includes the smart lock, the connected camera, the installation even.
I don't think it includes installation.
It says, and free installation.
Oh, holy moly.
Once you have the system in place, in-home delivery will now be an option every time you order something on Amazon with no additional charge. But it's only available in 37 cities where Amazon Logistics handles the drop-off. So that's why
so you have a problem is theft off of porches. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that
it's
huge.
A big problem here.
It's a big huge problem here. For retailers. I want to say they lose like $4 billion for things not actually arriving. But I could be making that number completely up. So
we have Dropcam as a sponsor of Ring. The Ring Video Doorbell is a sponsor of the Twit TV network. And the one that I installed at my parents' house caught two trucks.
Yeah.
Stealing packages from the house across the way.
Yeah.
So were you able to, were they caught? Did you use the video to prosecute?
Yeah. So the officers went down and they asked any of the residents if they had security cameras. And we had ours. We gave it to them and they used it in the prosecution.
And there you go. So that's what you need. You don't need people opening your door. You need
If it's Amazon, official Amazon employees, I have a camera. Actually, this all makes sense. But you have to live in one of those 37 cities. You do, obviously.
I think I might. Yeah, now, my question is, do I actually need the Amazon camera? Because I don't really need the camera because I'm fine with them just walking in with the door.
Just because they want to control every part of the system.
That's true. They want to be sure that it was verified.
If they have control of your door lock, they need to be able to make sure someone's not spoofing a system through third-party hardware.
True.
If you went to KFC's Twitter account, and you noticed it's following only 11 people. It's got 1.24 million followers, but it's only following 11 people. Would you be smart enough to click the link and say, I wonder who KFC's following? Oh, it's...
This is brilliant.
Wait a minute. It's one, two... She's a Spice Girl.
I know
she's
those
a
people.
Spice Girl.
Yeah, they were
that's
in a band.
Spice Girl. That's a Spice Girl. There's five Spice Girls, and... The rest are named Herb. It's
six guys named Herb.
It's 11 herbs and spices. This I don't know how long that's been going on for. They joined Twitter in July 2008, and it took us this long to figure that out.
I would love to think that they did this from the beginning, and it's taken us all these years.
That's like the best Easter egg ever.
Right? There's been some guy in their marketing department going, come on.
Just notice. Can I just leak it? Like, there's Business 11. Insider.
I just love that. That is brilliant marketing. And they're going to get a lot of press, of course, as a result.
Almost as much as YouTube putting the play button on the back of the World that Series.
Hey, good news. Well, maybe bad news for some. No more revenge porn on Twitter. It's official. Okay. Twitter has
There's no bad news here.
This is all good news, except for Twitter's promised these kinds of things before and not delivered.
I will accept that as the bad.
And that it's just very weird to see that they have a timeline for this. Like starting, let me get the timeline up for you. I don't know why, Maya.
Yeah, the announcement is that they will no longer tolerate, not that they can actually stop it.
Yeah, we'll no longer tolerate it. There it is. October 27th. Why, that's soon. Tomorrow.
Saturday.
No more non-consensual nudity.
Friday.
It's out. It's got to stop. No more. That means upskirt photos. That means hidden webcams. Nope, they'll be banned. What? They weren't banned before?
This was an issue with, I think it was the Massachusetts legislature with upskirt photos that was technically legal.
I must have been on the nicer side of Twitter because I've seen some hateful things, but I've never seen revenge porn in my feed.
Until was it Ted Cruz? I didn't realize there was porn on Twitter.
I did
so.
I thought that was automatically filtered.
Ted educated us all.
I was like,
they're saying that they're going to ban people who condone or threaten violence. And does this count against the president threatening North Korea or?
But I would say non-consensual
nuclear
pictures
war.
Of people
that's probably okay.
That it.
Yeah, that's
compromising non-consent.
So starting November 3rd, which is a week from tomorrow, no more advocating violence. Oh, but you have to be. Oh, see, that's the weasel words, organizations or groups. So individuals, you're okay. Hated images, hate symbols, those are going to be barred, including in avatars, profile headers. Again, Amazing.
So we have, what, another week?
This is you got one more week to leave that Nazi swastika in there. Unwanted sexual advances. No more after next Friday. Hateful display names. Oh, you got a few more weeks. That's November 22nd.
Yeah.
And it won't be till December 14th, just in time for Christmas, that content that glorifies or condones acts of violence that result in death or serious physical harm.
Yeah, that's
will
interesting
be banned.
Because then every movie studio is going to lose their Twitter account.
Right.
Well, they're not literally advocating violence and harm. It's just a movie.
That glorifies. Or condemns condemns.
That's, I mean, come on, every action movie
It does kind of glorify it, doesn't it?
Well, there again, this is the problem with everything Twitter does. It's always up to Twitter to decide what is what.
Yeah,
so you have to go to them and appeal to them, and if you're not verified, then you don't have a prayer.
Laws are. That's why we have courts. And I mean, like, my definition of things that are violent or offensive are different. I mean,
right. Community standards.
This is.
Yeah. I mean, look, everyone at this table has had, and over Skype has had some hurtful stuff aimed at them on Twitter.
Yeah.
But
somebody once said he thought my hair was a wig.
I mean, nobody, please don't send me things, but I've only had people be nice to me on Twitter.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
I can send some of mine your way.
No,
don't say that. I'm telling you, that's a bad thing.
I know, and please.
Kinahora. Poo.
But the problem with this, I applaud this. They need to move towards something like this, but I could see this spiraling out of control really, really
so
fast.
So, in July, on July of 2013, Twitter prepared to extend reporting abuse to all users. Couldn't do it before 2013. December 2014, Twitter takes small steps to finally deal with its harassment problem. That's worked well. 2015, in February of that year, Twitter CEO said, "We suck at dealing with abuse."
Yes.
That was Dick Costolo. I don't know. Maybe that was Jack coming in. No, I think it was still Dick.
No, that was Dick. That was
March 2017. Twitter is finally rolling out. This is March, a smart fix for its abuse problem. And finally, October, meaningful safety updates next month. This is Axios pointing out that it ain't the first time.
Right. Well, so
I think you nailed it. It's hard to define what these things are.
Well, okay, some of them are not hard to define. Like, some of the things that people are sent is really just reprehensible. So I feel Twitter has historically not taken care of those, even, unless you're famous.
Now, in this group, are there any bright line examples? Someone puts a swastika as their profile pic. Is that 100%?
Isn't it a Buddhist or a Hindu symbol?
Exactly.
Well, no. It's the swastika, so it's not the reverse. It's the actual Nazi swastika. And let's say they put a couple of iron eagles and armbands
on
it.
This is the legal system requires proof of intent,
right?
And that's the hardest thing to define. Intent. Is this intended to be hateful? I don't know.
Well, see, that's why it can't just be an automatic system. They need to have people who actually look through the account.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a profile pic plus 15 pages of this person saying horrible things.
You could tell
things.
Immediately.
All right, yeah, that's done.
But this is the real problem. So you ban that guy.
Right.
What happens next?
Starts up another account.
Yeah.
The only way to make Twitter more civil is if there's skin in the game. If I can make another account in 10 seconds and be right back at it.
How are you going to stop it?
Unless, this is like, okay, we start tying Twitter accounts to something that can be tied to actual people.
That is such a massive change.
It's super huge.
And Twitter's going to say no. Yep. And what they point to is the Arab Spring. We talked about this on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And other times when Twitter has been very effectively used by dissidents, by activists to change repressive governments. Look at Turkey and the protests in Tahrir Square. These were all Twitter claims, Twitter powered. I'm not sure that's true, but they certainly Twitter was part of it. And they're going to say we can't force people to use their real identities because that will suppress.
But those people are probably not on Twitter anymore.
Well, my guess is that Twitter wasn't really ever that important.
You need pseudonymity. So all you need to do is that you need to verify who you are to Twitter. And then once they know that you are you.
Right. And then Erdogan just says,
then
okay,
you can
Twitter.
Put any public name you want.
Who is this guy?
To the public, you're anonymous. You use a fake name to the public.
But the government can subpoena
that, right? When Twitter
decides
they want to be big in Turkey or big in Russia, they'll say, oh, is this guy bothering you? Here, let me give you his account information.
What you need is an organization.
There are also gray areas like the Palestine Liberation Front.
Yeah.
Is that a hate group? Well, to some it is. To others, it's freedom fighters. And who's going to decide that?
So many gray areas. There's the example of threats of violence. Typical example, you can, you know, in the old days, somebody could say, I'm going to kill you. And then that was banned. So they said, somebody should kill you.
Right.
You know, what if somebody kills you? Like, there's a whole spectrum of ways to threaten somebody. And everybody gets a message. It's the same communication using words that are increasingly difficult to ban. There's really no hard and fast black and white rule that you can establish.
I don't condone violence, but I wouldn't weep for you if someone were to kill you at this rally.
Right. Expressing an opinion.
Well, and what's really significant is that this is happening in the White House. This is happening.
That's, yeah.
And okay. So...
Well, the First Lady said she was going to take this on, and I'm sure that's
no more bullying.
Not happening.
Yeah. Just be kind, okay? Just be kind.
I mean, here's the only way that something like this works, and you can extend this to Facebook as well, is if you had an organization that enough people trusted to keep them anonymous, could do their verifying. Say, yes, this is a verified account.
But then they've got to have awesome security, which precisely means they're going to have precisely big company backing.
And
which
gives, they can't turn down government have awesome subpoenas. So suddenly...
you could if it was, say, a nation state, like if the Vatican were to start doing this.
Do we have anything to fear, Father Robert, now that they have...
How many Catholic conspiracy theories are there?
Now that they have special projects.
Superior,
you know that, right?
Technological skills at their behest and command.
I'm just saying.
So this is something actually that is serious and you should worry about. We covered it on Security Now in great detail. It is an IoT botnet that is growing really rapidly. Already 2 million IoT devices, mostly routers, have been compromised. Mm-hmm. The botnet is growing at a rate of 10,000 per day. Now, a botnet that had one-tenth the size, the Mirai botnet, brought down on Christmas Day, you may remember, the PlayStation Network and Xbox Network, mm-hmm, was used, and that took advantage of flaws in routers, some of the same routers that we're seeing, by the way.
In this
new botnet. IoT devices like IP wireless cameras, just unpatched devices. This new one, which we're calling Reaper, although Checkpoint is calling it IO Troop. They say
Reaper's going to get the headlines.
A new IoT botnet storm is coming. It's recruiting IoT devices at a far greater pace and with more potential damage than the Mirai botnet of 2016. And if you look at the attacking IP addresses, this graph, which is growing pretty much almost, well, it's almost exponential, it's a straight line right now. This is since the 29th of September. This is in 3 weeks, how much this has grown. It is growing really rapidly. But what we don't know is who created it, who controls it, and most importantly, what do they plan to do with it? There's nothing more to say except that's the facts, Jack. It was discovered by Checkpoint Security. The devices involved are cameras, D-Link routers, a number of D-Link routers, a number of TP-Link routers, and Netgear routers, AV-Tech, MikroTik, and Linksys. And we've seen many of these before. Your favorite, the Synology Disk Station Manager.
Right. Well, that's a NAS that someone put on the internet. You're not supposed to do that. They create a router, the SRM.
Right.
And that you can put on the internet. So many of these
devices...
But my
Synology is on the internet.
Through your router.
Yeah, through my router. Right. So you think that as a result couldn't
join a botnet? Because there is a function that you can add to a Synology NAS to
say
turn
be
it into
a router. Got it.
That's a really bad idea. That's a horribly bad idea.
Well, people are doing it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately...
Can we not call this an Internet of Things botnet? Because while these are...
Routers are... I think it's unfair to call them...
These are things on the internet. That's
right.
Different.
And I would say... Again, your old routers, God, burn them in a fire, you guys. Okay, recycle them responsibly. But
in a fire.
They really, you've got to unplug them. You've got to update. You've got to look for over-the-air updates. You've got to look for a company that actually does them and cares. Like, for example, I'm going to call you out, Linksys, because with Crack, I was like, hey, what's up with my routers? What are you guys doing? They're like, we are aware of the problem and we are addressing it. And I haven't heard boo since. And I want to see way better, way more rapid security from these companies. And that is going to stop this. That is all.
Well, I mean, then we also have the D-Link lawsuit right now.
Oh, yes, we do.
And they've thrown out a lot of that. Half of that lawsuit has been tossed because you can't really show any damages. You can show that the equipment is vulnerable.
Is this the FTC one?
This is the FTC
okay.
one.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, and that's that kills me. It's like, wait a minute. We need some leverage against these manufacturers that will release a product and then they won't update the firmware for 5 years.
Well, and what you need is damages. I mean, and this is the problem with security up until now is it's all been an externality. So the people who pay for it, I as a consumer spending my money on my router that is super cheap instead of super secure, I'm not paying for when it takes down, you know, Dyne or my Netflix. So
I had a know-how segment planned for late last year, where I was going to show people how easy it was to scan a range of Comcast IP addresses, figure out which ones were vulnerable, and then get in and pivot. And it was basically a point and click type thing. And I thought better. I'm like, this is too dangerous. But the fact that it's too dangerous also means I can't believe that this is still possible. These are actively supported devices by Comcast. And I can exploit them with a script kiddie toolkit. And that's ridiculous. And that's not unique. That's common. Just go down the list of all those devices from all the major manufacturers.
What might be interesting is, unfortunately, like traditional, like the actual, when I think of an IoT device, these don't have the bandwidth or the compute power to be interesting. But if these could ruin something
in a giant network, they do.
You pivot. So here's
an amplification attack. So precisely. you don't care about the power of the device as long as they can reflect something. You're happy.
Now, but it's worse than that. That's the one thing. If I own the device and I can just make it send traffic, already that's valuable to me as a black hat.
Use it as a DDoS.
Right. But a lot of these that do allow me remote code execution, they will allow me to pivot. So now I can see inside your network. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe I don't care what's in your network, but if I did, it's as if you don't have a firewall.
And that's the problem with the crack attack, which is clients, mostly IoT devices, that join networks, although actually not mostly IoT devices, including phones and laptops.
Yes, all kinds of things.
Yeah, all kinds of things. Anything that joins a network is vulnerable. The sad thing is, the interesting thing to me is the Mirai botnet had one flaw that it was taking advantage of. This one is much more sophisticated, which makes me nervous, makes me suspect maybe a more sophisticated actor is involved here, like, let's say, a nation state. It is a broad range of vulnerabilities being exploited. And as a result, that's why it's such a much broader range of internet-connected devices. And what's also interesting is many of these devices do have patches, but people just don't patch them. People just don't patch them.
That's because it's a pain.
It's a pain.
They don't make it
sometimes
easy.
Sometimes the patches aren't available
in
a way that is easy for you to do it. One of the reasons why I suggest the Synology routers is because they will automatically update. I like that. Some people hate that. I love it because a consumer, like my parents, I can give this to them and say, just leave it on.
Right.
It will take care of itself. All of these attacks are taking advantage of something that we've done very poorly, and that is make the transition from the late 90s mindset to the new millennium mindset.
Mirai took advantage of the fact that they had a hardwired login.
Well, yeah, that too.
That's pretty pathetic.
Well, but no, I mean, the philosophy of the internet.
Any mindset from any decade.
Well, but the mindset used to be you protect the core. The cores were all the important stuff.
Right. Now it's the edge. Yeah. The edge has brains.
And it was about 6 years ago when people started saying, I don't need to own the core if I can own the edge and use the edge to disrupt the core.
I want to correct myself. The Mirai net was not the one 2 years ago that affected the PlayStation Network. That was the one last Christmas that affected the Dyne DNS that almost brought the internet down
by bringing down a big
DNS provider, Dyne. Yeah.
But I don't see this problem being solved through user action. It will never be solved through user action.
Right.
In terms of their purchasing, what they buy, and then what they do after they buy, because most of these attacks don't directly affect the user. Like right now, for example, people listening to this, some percentage of the people listening to this show or watching this show have that on their router. Okay, what bad thing is happening to them right now?
Right.
Nothing really.
Right.
It's kind of an abstraction. And if you think about the number of users who don't take action when they have phishing attacks, when they have Trojans, when they have
all
these
actual
malware
problems. Yeah.
Right in front of their face.
You could be part of the Mirai botnet or this new botnet and not know it. Exactly. There'd be excess traffic coming out of
you. I was going to say, your broadband may slow down a
bit. Maybe a little bit, yeah. But it didn't need to slow down much. By the way, not only does it take advantage of at least 7 or 8 different vulnerabilities, it has an entire Lua-based back end that allows new code modules to be downloaded to infected machines. This is much more sophisticated.
So it's a malware that can be updated easily than the
internet. More than the routers. Devices.
That's good.
So even if Checkpoint, a Chinese company, Qihu 360, also found this, even if they were to analyze and say it does this, it could do something different tomorrow. They know at least that it's programmable.
That's really scary.
In a couple of weeks, we'll say, now we know what Reaper was designed to do. But right now, we don't. We just know it's out there.
And it might be designed to do something different later.
Drop in a new module.
I asked Steve, what can't they figure out what the command and control networks are? He said, no, there are a variety of IP addresses.
They're very smart about that.
They're very smart. All people should do, and the problem is it's not the people who watch this show, because they know enough anyway to keep their stuff up to date, is look at this database of infected devices and unplug them. As you said, donate them.
And responsibly recycle them.
Responsibly recycle with a hammer.
Yeah.
You don't want to give it to Goodwill.
You don't want to give it to
someone else, no. Right.
You really don't like that person.
No, it affects all of us.
It affects us, not them.
I was joking, but yes, absolutely. Here's the fun part. Your neighbor who might be having compromised equipment, it's not just your neighbor's problem. Your neighbor's on your segment.
It's less
your broadband.
But it's even less your neighbor than the world's problem. That's the funny thing is the burden of this doesn't, as you point out, lie on the guy who's infected. And so there's even less reason.
Yeah, if you ever want to get depressed, just Google security and externalities, and you will just be like, we will never solve this, just like we will never fix the climate. And
you know, I feel bad about Snap, though, because they made a whole bunch of spectacles.
You have some.
I have my Snap spectacles.
Remember how cool they were?
Everybody wanted them. You couldn't get them. You had to go.
That was like a hot
no,
second.
No, Mike, remember that.
Apparently, according to The Verge, Snap is stuck with hundreds of thousands of unsold spectacles and spectacle parts in warehouses. This is the information. Snap expects demand to continue after the holiday, or thought demand would continue after their big rush last year, and ordered hundreds of thousands of additional units. But once it opened sales to a wider audience, the demand dried up, and
is the whole thing. They were cool because they were scarce, right? And they created a glut, and nobody cared.
I think it's a Silicon Valley thing. Like, they were cool because tech people were like,
it wasn't even a. Not even tech people, tech journalists.
Yes, some tech journalists. I thought they were ugly.
Exactly.
I never wanted to put these things on.
I liked them, but I wore them once, and I never wore them again.
They didn't look fashionable and fetching like Google Glass did.
Could you get me my spectacles so I could show people how good they look, at least compared to the Felix Grays? They might be in the drawer on the lower left there, yeah.
Well, the big issue wasn't even
they might be in the closet up behind. I think they're behind the June oven and just to the left of my Gear VR and Lord, I have
the
a lot
average,
of crap.
The average Snap glasses user.
That better
user
be on your countertop.
June is still in use.
Okay, I'm sorry. You are trying to make a point.
No, I say the average Snap spectacles user used it for, what, a week?
Yeah,
something like
that. Right.
So even the ones who did use it, they realized, this is not ideal.
Don't worry. They have $2.8 billion on hand. Although they're burning at the rate of $400 million.
Remember when they said they were a camera company? I wonder if they still say that.
Every 6 months. They almost bought a Chinese drone maker. It fell through. So these don't look bad at all, I think.
Here, let me try them. Let's see what happens.
They might look good on you with your striped shirt. Do.
Let's go with a hipper.
Oh, see? Look.
Actually, on you, they're not bad. They're not.
I feel kind of. Like,
do you feel that I'm not hip enough to wear those?
I just feel like you exude a certain gravitas that maybe these spectacles do not accentuate.
Nice save, Higginbotham. Nice save.
Well done.
No,
what you're saying is I look like a cartoon character wearing them. I do kind of.
I thought that they should have the yellow circles both on the same side, so it looks like that emoji looking up.
You need little googly eyes for these.
You know what? If they had an emojis on them, I bet they'd be amazing.
And emojis make everything better. We know this.
Exactly.
We know this.
And they had this nice, weird rubber case with proprietary charging that if you lost it, you'd never charge them.
Well, because what I really like is proprietary things.
Love the proprietary things.
Yeah.
And they're recording right now.
Wait, are they still linked to the Wi-Fi?
They're linked to my Snapchat.
Which is on your phone.
Which is on my
phone.
Which
is not here.
Oh, yeah. Which we could be totally...
That
if
was
you're,
like,
if
that
you're
was
on...
like 3 phones ago, right, Leo?
Somebody's, yeah, it was 3 phones ago.
Check Leo's Snap account.
Check my old phone. Somebody says it looks like I had cataract surgery and I'm just recovering.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
Those look like Marty Feldman.
Marty Feldman. They do. Would you like them? Because they really do look better.
They actually really do look better.
I have an amazing pair of sunglasses that have Swarovski crystals on them that I wear.
But do they have yellow circles on the corners?
I think you actually look really good in those. I'm like, doesn't she look good in those? I think you should.
I can do the whole show.
Yeah.
How do you make a picture?
Yeah. I forgot. That's the lens. I think
that's how you
here.
Put a fingerprint
up
on
here.
The lens.
This is a button.
Well, this is just like the speaker. You just
have to
hit it. Hit it really hard.
See that? Go ahead. Do it again.
Wait.
I see the red light. I'm recording this on Leo's.
I don't know where it's going.
Phone.
Oh, it's still recording.
I think it's at his house.
I think it's the essential phone, which you're going to inherit. I don't know. It's not that. It's probably the Note 5.
Now, that would be a cool feature.
You don't
I
want
will
those.
Say, these. No, I'm good.
Those will be a collector's item
at
some
point. Yeah, you should save them. You can put them in the...
They're going in my museum. I have a little museum behind my desk.
I'll do an IoT museum.
Yeah,
and then
I could
put
that.
Them there.
I thought this was kind of neat, the way they fit in the case and everything. And I don't know. Yeah, I'll put them in the museum behind me.
If they were the turquoise ones, I would take
them. A moment in time, isn't it?
Do you remember when there was a time that people were paying for 4 or 5 times over the asking price?
I think that was just tech journalists who had to write the story.
Yeah. No, we had an engineer here, Kara Cole, who told me, I will pay you up to $600.
Could they open source this? Could they put this and give this to
Yeah, it's called a phone.
It's a camera. I mean, I doubt this is anything too.
I mean, I'm just thinking if I could... If I could use that and build apps against...
Okay, yeah, that would be cool.
It would have been nice if it had been an open platform. You might have more people buying them.
I'm just saying...
Well, they have a couple hundred thousand. I mean,
what can you do if you could quickly record something or... I'm trying to... They don't show you anything in the glass, so...
They would have to make them not sunglasses.
What are you talking about? Sunglasses are appropriate everywhere.
At night, indoors.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a little break. I'm recording this right now. We're going to take a little break and come back with picks of the week, numbers, anything you guys think is interesting and worth highlighting to the world at large. First, a word from our sponsor.
Laser text.
Ah, this Rocket Mortgage. I knew I had it here somewhere. I love Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Actually, I can't really say I love Rocket Mortgage. I love the idea of Rocket Mortgage, and I know that the next time I buy a house, I will use Rocket Mortgage because when we bought our house, Lisa and I, 4 years ago, we didn't use Rocket Mortgage. They weren't around yet. We used that big bank that everybody knows, the number one lender in the country with the whips and the horses.
It's like Devo has a bank.
Yeah, Devo has a bank. Don't ever borrow from Devo's bank. First of all, you have to go to the bank. You have to go, and then there's somebody there. And this is 4 years ago, but you might as well have been 1895. No, it might be a little later because he didn't have an abacus. He had a calculator that you had an amortization table key on. You know, and he had a sheaf of papers. If we give you this loan and then we calculate your monthly payment based on the down payment would be $400. No, that's wrong. It was crazy. But that wasn't the worst part. Then we go home. We say, okay, fine. We'll take it. Okay. And he says, good. Well, we'll be in touch because there's some things we need. Well, we were in touch for weeks, for 2 months, sending them stuff every week, another batch of well, now we need pay stubs from your job 4 jobs ago and stuff like that. I mean, literally, it just went on and on. We almost lost the house. I've told this story before. I won't belabor the point. It was not a good experience. In comes Quicken Loans. Best lender in the country. Fabulous. Very forward-looking. Number one in customer satisfaction year after year. They realized this is old-fashioned. It's not keeping up with the times. We need a client-focused technological solution. So they created Rocket Mortgage, and they had 3 goals. Goal number one, they wanted to make it simple to apply. So they do the entire thing online. There's no paperwork, literally no paperwork to apply for the loan. You have to sign papers at the end when you get the loan. But to apply, no paperwork, no going to the attic, no searching through. It's simple. It's fully transparent. They tell you exactly every step of the way what's going on, so you understand fully. And then, based on your income, your assets and credits, they have relationships with all the banks and everything. So they say, okay, you give them some basic information. They say, is this you? Is this your bank account? Do we have permission to access it? Yes. Okay. Now we know what we need to know. And within minutes of you sitting down to do this on your computer, on your laptop, on your tablet, on your phone, it'll say you're approved. And there's a big button that says print out your approval letter. You bring that to the open house. You're done. You've got the loan. Rocket Mortgage. You apply simply, you understand fully, and then you mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. It's rocketmortgage.com/twig. If you're buying or refining, in my mind, there is just no better way to do this. rocketmortgage.com/twig. They're an equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. Don't go back in time to get your next home loan. Go to Quicken Loans, rocketmortgage.com/twig. I did this entire advertisement wearing spectacles, wearing Snapchat spectacles.
Someone's got to.
Do you think you could hack these on know-how?
Probably.
I mean, they're kind of encased in plastic.
They're Bluetooth, right? I mean, if they're Bluetooth, they can be hackable.
Yeah.
Maybe you could modify them so they don't look dumb.
They don't look that dumb.
No, I mean, they look great on Stacey, but yeah. I'm guessing
you have to have a certain facial
structure. You have to have a good face, you guys.
You don't need a fist. You just kind of beat me with your words. Just beat me with your words. Stacey, do you have a pick or anything you'd like
to do? I do.
Yes.
It's not a physical thing because I'm here as a surprise. Yes. I didn't even know I was going
to
be here.
Happy birthday to me.
It is almost your birthday. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not going to sing.
Wow.
How old are you now, Leo?
I'm not going to ask.
No, I'll take that.
And this is kind of iffy. This is a startup. It is a startup called Wellio, and you sign up for a newsletter.
You mean Wellio, don't you? Wellio, Wellio.
I don't mean that, actually. Wellio. And it, in some places, it's even cooler. So what it does is it sends you three recipes a week.
Oh, I need this. I need this.
And then if you're in an area where it's awesome, you can actually order it on Instagram. Oh, look, you probably can.
Is this it? No, this is a test of your...
No.
That's some other Wellio.
Hold on, I'm going to tell you where to go.
I went to the wrong Wellio.
Getwellio.com.
Go get Wellio.
Get Wellio.
I'd like to.
So my newsletter this week features apples. And my three recipes of the week are apple goat cheese frittata with walnuts.
Oh.
It gives me $6 per serving and the opportunity to order it now.
Oh, they'll actually sell you this stuff.
Here, I can show you on my magical computer. You just can't see the email. And then, so if I go to order it now,
are designed for weight loss or... heart health, or is it
They're
just general?
Just good, clean eating.
Good, clean eating.
Good, clean eating.
Okay.
And you can either, even if you don't have
so
delivery.
So this is kind of like a Blue Apron, but not? I mean, I don't understand.
No. So, well, okay, if it will order all of the items from the grocery store for you. So you get a list, and it says you can add them
It's like a personal shopper for food.
It's the recipe plus you can order the food.
Yeah.
I can't order the food because I don't live in an area where they have a...
They're in San Francisco.
But yes, in the Bay Area, you can.
Okay.
If you do this, I would recommend looking at the ingredients before you just click order because sometimes they double up on some of the recipes.
Well, and you may not want an apple goat cheese frittata.
Okay, well, yes. Then you don't click on that recipe and say order.
Okay. Good, because I really don't.
So some others for this week are sausage and apples and then chicken plus apple salad. And you go through, you can browse through recipes.
I'm not sure I get the value proposition.
So the value is, like, I sit there every week and I'm like, God, what do I cook this week? So I can look at this and then I can just easily, instead of looking at my recipe book and then writing down the things on my grocery list, it's creative.
It's meal planning a little bit with them.
It's meal planning made slightly easier.
Yeah.
Is that going to set the world on fire? No. But it's free right now.
Well, what's interesting, because this Blue Apron HelloFresh meals in a box model is super hot on Wall Street right now, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, with Amazon getting into it, people think Amazon's going to eat this one up because now they own Whole Foods. But it's a very hot category, and this is an interesting way to kind of... sidle into it, I think.
And they're doing machine learning on, you know, what you have and that sort of thing. That's
is it going free?
This is free right now. It's yeah, just a little yeah. fun.
Are they selling this information to anybody?
So what? If you order it and you buy it, they get a cut. It's like an affiliate fee for the groceries that they're okay. The grocers that they're working.
Yeah.
I just think it's nice because I like to cook different things all the time. But Blue Apron, a lot of times,
This is more open-ended meal planning, right?
Yeah, because they want me to do a lot more work than sometimes I want to do.
Yeah, sometimes you just want to eat.
Yeah.
I don't want to cook. Send me almonds.
Well, I'm not going to get Blue Apron every day of the week, so this is kind of a fun way to go. I don't know. I like to cook.
I like to cook, too. And that's why I like Blue Apron, but we only get it 3 times a week. It's not like we're always doing it. Wellio's first intelligent platform helps people plan, shop, prepare, and enjoy healthy meals at home. Okay. Anything to help with meal planning.
That's the worst
nightmare,
thing
isn't it?
For me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's not related, but I'm a follower of the good Dr. Furman. And he will also do that for you. But this is very much more specific to dietary health. He's very, very...
The nutritarian diet?
Nutritarian. The theory behind it is you eat high nutrient density foods.
Oh, like spinach.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you focus on that, you know. And so he'll send... I get a recipe, I think, every day from him. He doesn't order food for you. You still have to shop.
But he sends you good for your recipes.
You get lots of good free recipes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You should try it anyway. It's fun. Yeah.
Chocolate is pretty dense, right?
It is.
It's dense. I don't know if it's nutritious.
Chocolate torts are even denser or more
super
dense.
Fudge is crazy.
Who's the man?
It is dense.
Dense.
I feel dense just thinking about it.
Mr. Michael Elgin in Tbilisi, Georgia, home of wine.
Yes, that's right. I have a tool of the week, and I promised that I would tell everybody about the ultimate Android phone that did everything you would ever dream of, specifically preventing you from being overly distracted. Leo, I have a dream. My dream is to have, I love everything about going full on with a watch that connects to the internet and so on.
Yes.
And that you can make calls with a watch like the new Apple Watch, some of the Samsung watches. But the only problem with that is photography, because the only thing that the new expensive $1,000, $900 phones have that I really want is a really, really good camera.
That's a very good point. This really become about the camera more than anything else, right?
The camera is everything.
You could carry a camera.
There you go. And that is what this phone does. The ultimate Android phone is the L16 camera. It's an Android device that has 16 lenses in it, 16 camera modules in it. And
that is a joke.
It uses at least 10 lenses simultaneously for each shot, sometimes 11, 12, whatever. The picture, and then it fuses them together into a massive 50-something megapixel image.
God.
You can focus it later, and it's not like this phony baloney portrait mode stuff. This is optical focus that you actually focus later. It takes breathtakingly beautiful shots. They claim that it's DSLR quality, and it's the size of a phone. It's $2,000. That's the downside.
Oh my gosh! So look at all these sensors.
Is this the one that has a subscription fee because it stores everything in the cloud for you? Do you have to pay?
I don't think so.
It's computational. It's a computational camera, so I don't think it can do it on the device.
I've seen this camera then.
There were prototypes, and I've written about this when it was kind of a sort of a research project.
Here's some images. Like wow.
They're beautiful.
The images, you zoom in on those photos, you zoom in on the images, and it just like, they look like incredible.
Yeah. And because it has so many lenses, it has real zoom up to 150 millimeter optical zoom from 28 to 150. It has, as you said, you could pull focus after the fact. That's really interesting. Yeah,
it just seems and it fits in your pocket. So I'm always torn between using my camera where the photo is kind of inferior, or my big Canon camera where suddenly I'm a photographer, which I don't want to be sitting in a restaurant with a big camera or whatever. And this is like solving all those problems. So the dream is carry this plus wear a watch that connects you to the internet and gives you notifications and calls. And I think that's a better scenario than actually having a smartphone.
Well, how many cameras are front facing?
All of them.
No, I mean,
all of them.
No, like towards you.
Nothing.
Oh, no, zero.
Well, because then I can't take selfies. I mean, no. How am I going to use this?
It's not a selfie you can cam.
Turn it. You can turn it like this.
Not a selfie cam.
I'm going to wait for the model that has 17 cameras because I'm a bit more of a photo snob. No, but seriously.
Yeah, it was 16 of them as the selfie camera.
Right. I remember when they first released or talked about this, and it's an incredible idea, but now that I'm looking at it, I'm thinking the first thing that's going to happen for me is I will put my fingerprints all over at least five of those camera lenses. Yeah. I'll have to clean that off every single time. But it is an amazing piece of technology.
Yeah, and the other thing I love about it is, of course, they'll be able to refine and hone the software over time because this is like really a big soft, you know, the stitching and the modification of the images afterwards is something that can be improved year after year, even with the same hardware.
Snapdragon 820, 256 gig storage, 3 custom light A6.
Okay.
You can't think of
and,
this.
Did I mention the name? It's called the L16.
Yeah, the light.
The light.co, if you want to know more. Light.co.
Yes. You can't think of this like a regular camera because we think of regular digital cameras in terms of megapixels. That doesn't work when you have a computational camera.
Right.
There is no megapixel. It's technically infinite megapixelage.
You must think of the algorithm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that also means, like Mike said, it means you could take the same picture, and when they improve the algorithm 5 years down the line, it becomes a better picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's the amazing part of it.
And the scary part, because...
Yes, I know.
What I'd love to see, though, I mean, really, the chief benefit of this is the size.
Yeah.
But what I'd love to see is this kind of computational photography, and I think Sony, in particular, is starting to do this in DSLRs usually they're mirrorless.
16
cameras.
Lenses with full-size Sony camera lenses, 16 of them.
Okay, that's not going to work. Like I don't know if the multiple lens thing is really...
trillion megapixel
photos. Could probably do the same thing with a zoom. But anyway, I think it's very interesting. And I do think you'll see some stuff. The problem with Canon and Nikon is they've been really slow to adopt these kinds of new technologies because they have such an investment in existing models. This is always the innovator's dilemma, right?
Yeah.
Sony's been able to kind of somewhat eat their lunch because they don't have such an investment in their existing platform. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a company. Remember the ray tracing camera, the Lytro, the LYTRO? Mm-hmm. Everybody was so excited. This reminds me a little bit of that. Everybody was so excited about what the Lytro was going to be and do, and it never really went anywhere. But at some point, I agree with you, Mike. Computational photography, we all agree, is the future of photography. But, this is a step on the road. I'm not sure I'd want to spend $2,000 on it. You could get a pretty good camera.
You could buy five of these for the cost of that nice lens, Leo.
What nice lens?
Yeah.
The one stop looking at me like that. I mean, I'm the nut that bought I buy crazy stuff much more expensive than that. But
but your pictures are incredible. The ones that you took back from the Galapagos?
Yeah, those were pretty good, but not as good as Lisa's. But anyway, this is an interesting idea. And when you get one, Mike, I'll be sure to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we going to put it in the holiday gift-giving guide?
Yeah, sure, let's.
All right.
We should probably get one to review. You want to review it?
No. Yeah. Actually, I think Lisa should review it.
She would be a great
person. She's got a good eye.
She's a better photographer than anybody. She's amazing.
Two of them.
Yeah. Give her two. One for each eye. Yeah.
Well, no, one for the selfie. You just tape them front and back.
It's my selfie.
Done.
Well, no, then you could have 360.
How many lenses would you need for 360?
That's more than enough.
Like all the lenses.
All the lenses.
Can you do, if you do a 180, then you just need two, and then you've got, they'll stitch it together, right?
Master Father Robert, Right Reverend Father Roberto.
Well, I already showed you my projector, so I wanted to show something a little lower cost.
I did kind of steal your pick right
now.
No,
that's all good. Jason, a while back, he kind of challenged me. He said, use a Chromebook instead of Windows.
You fell for that?
I did. Well, I wanted to see if it would work. So I picked up one of these. I actually bought one for my dad, too. This is an Acer R13.
And this is actually all aluminum body. It's a good-looking laptop.
It's actually really nice. It's convertible.
It lasts
about 12 hours on a charge. It's a 13.3-inch screen, quad-core ARM processor, 32 gigabytes of memory, 32 gigabytes of storage, 4 gigabytes of memory.
Oh, only 32 gigabytes? Can you
expand it. Okay. Yeah, it's got expandability.
That's less important on a Chromebook because you don't really...
Yeah, that's a lot for a Chromebook.
Yeah, you don't... Right. Although Google's now has like ridiculous 128 and 512 gigs.
But I mean, this thing starts at 350.
Yeah.
So I mean, they're crazy low cost. And for $350, normally it's, well, the keyboard's bad or the touchpad doesn't
work. Does this one have an i5 in it? Is this...
No, this is the quad-core ARM.
Okay.
Quad-core ARM. But it does do Android apps. So this will
act as
like a super large Android tablet. And I have to say, I've been using this on KnowHow. It's replaced my Windows notebook for KnowHow. It's replaced my Windows notebook for some of the other shows that I do. And I don't miss Windows because I just need something that will access Google Docs, that can do Twitter, can do email, can do Hangouts.
Here's a little tip.
Oh, see? Cortana got jealous.
I was shielding her ears. Instead, I activated her. I'm sorry.
Here's a little hint.
Here's a little hint. Buy a Windows notebook.
Yeah.
But yeah, this thing, I like it. This actually, for most of what I do, would work just fine. Unfortunately, not for everything, because I also do video editing on my notebook, and that's absolutely not with a Chromebook.
Any sort of coding as well. It's out the window.
There's a couple of kludges for getting Arduino programming to work properly on this, but they're kludges. But I would say for my parents, because I bought one each for my parents, they are great because they're virus proof and they're incredibly easy for me to manage remotely. And at $350 a pop, it means that I'm not going to get a call from my dad saying, I just dropped the $1,000 notebook you sent me.
So I bought the Pixelbook, which was the base unit. Yeah. This is $999. That won't come for a couple of weeks, but I would love to do a head-to-head comparison.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely nicer. The Pixel is going to be so beautiful, and it's
so
stylish.
Expensive.
But yeah, you could buy three of these things for the cost of that.
I bought my daughter the Samsung Chromebook Plus. I've actually bought two of those, one for me and one for her. And that's really nice for $500. So there's great choices out there.
There really are. And I remember a year ago even, Chromebooks, the low-price Chromebooks, they were bad.
That's all we called for a year ago. That's all we were saying is just give us a mid-range Chromebook. I think that would be a market.
So would that pass the Jeff test?
That's a good question. Yeah. He got a Pixelbook, so he'll have his in a couple of weeks, too.
Well,
so
I find that people who have Pixel Chromebooks, they're kind of snobbish.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want to use anything less because we've got the best money can buy. It's like the $2,000 camera phone. Wow, this was so much fun, especially because you were in studio, you guys, and I'm sorry that you couldn't also be here, Mike, but it's always a pleasure to have Mike Elgin, gastronomad.net. He's traveling the world with his wife, Amira, to create amazing food experiences for people. He's done Barcelona. The next one is?
The next one is going to be Prosecco.
That's going to be next year in Italy.
Yeah, these are pictures of the event in Barcelona.
Fun. You met the best baker in Spain and got lessons. And looks like that's a little ham
there,
paella.
It was life-changing for us, and we were the hosts. It was just an amazing experience. But the next one is Prosecco, and Provence is right after that. They're both kind of in the spring, summer.
Oh, man.
Or, Mike, if you'd like, we'll send you some of the mystery Oreos.
Yeah, please. Yeah, that
don't
would be
add
great.
Those we to can, your gastronomatic
experience. Yeah, no, that's...
Mike's also one of the most astute and observant and thoughtful writers in the tech scene, and you can catch his writing at Fast Company and Computer World.
Yep.
Yeah. There's still a Computer World, right?
There is.
Okay.
And IDG and across IDG. The IDG network. So, thank you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Is it late? It's late. It's like 1 in the morning.
It is. It's almost 4 in the morning.
Oh.
We are far east.
Mike.
It's time to get out of bed, Mike.
Mike, I'm so sorry.
I saw you having a glass of wine earlier. And I thought it was like 7.
Go to bed.
Everybody stays up this late. No, nobody goes to bed before the sun comes up around
here. Oh, my God. I had no idea it was that late. Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
I would have made this a shorter show. It was kind of a long show because I was having so much fun. Father Robert Ballasier, again, great to have you on. First time on Twig that you've hosted it without me, but... I think, right?
No. This is one of the free shows I've never done.
Well, it's about time. I was excited to be on a show with you.
No, isn't that great?
Thank you.
I finally got to meet you.
Yeah.
I've seen you so many times.
Finally a host that won't hit on her. It's great. Father Robert is... this is not quite the longest Twig episode. If we go for another 2 minutes, we will now be the longest Twig episode.
Oh, let's not try it for Mike. He's got to go to bed.
Let's do it. I want to break the record.
Father Robert Ballasier is the digital Jesuit. Catch him on knowhowtwit.tv/KH and on Twiat. twit.tv/TWIET this week in Enterprise Tech. And all around the studio, because it's great. And he's going to be here for a little bit longer.
Yes.
He's been called back to Rome, but that won't be till late next year. And I'm so glad we could have you in studio. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
Yeah.
And this is one of those shows that, actually, I think this was the third Twit show I ever started watching. First was, of course, Twit, then Security Now, then Twig.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. Yeah. And, wow, to get Stacey in studio, what a thrill. What a pleasure. We adore having you on This Week in Google. We want you to keep doing it. But, of course, Stacey has her own thing, Stacey on IoT. Don't forget her podcast, her newsletter, Kevin Toefel. And she. Now, did you do the show with Kevin this morning? Or?
I did. The show goes out without fail.
Good.
Yeah.
Commitment's important.
It is important.
It's important to be committed to your work. Well, it's really nice to see you. I didn't ask you, how did you like that coffee? Was it okay?
Oh, it was really good.
Yeah.
I let it get cold because I was not wanting to.
Did she have the giant steps? What did she have? She had the same one, the Costa Rica? Or the Kenyan?
This one. Oh, I had the Kenyan.
Yum.
Oh, can I share a story to get us over the 2 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, well, so I just got dismissed from jury duty after 3 weeks. I had almost made it through the voir dire, and finally I was excused. Thank you very much.
Oh, why?
They used one of their peremptory challenges.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. But one of the other potential jurors that was with me was the wife of a blue bottle executive.
Oh.
And she brought coffee in for everybody.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Nice.
It was so nice.
That is sweet. So you're not going on the jury?
Oh, thank God. It's the Zarate case, Garcia Zarate case.
No kidding.
That's going to last a long time.
The fact that you even knew about it probably got you excused, I would bet.
A little bit, yeah.
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 Do priests often get excused from jury duty?
Not as often as you would, as often
as they
you
hope.
Would think. You would think that I wore my collar.
I mean, journalists, they're like, oh, get you gone.
Well, I told, I'm like, I'm a priest and I work for media. And the judge said, no, it's not a problem. I'm like, really? Can it be?
No, same thing happened to me. I was called up on a jury for the, to catch one of the Catch a Predator cases.
Yep.
And they knew I did a radio show. They said, will you talk about this case on the radio show? I said, yes. They said, great, you're going to be on the jury.
we had a person who told me the first day, he goes, the judge can't seat me because I'm a sovereign citizen.
No,
I'm like, wait, what?
That's not going to
work. He said, yeah. I live in the United States, but I
declared
work under
myself
my own.
Independent of U.S.
The
jurisdiction.
Last day, he got called for the voir dire. And he told the judge that. And the judge said, Lord. I agree with you. I can't sit you on this case. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go across the hall to jury services. And I want you to tell them that you're re-entering the pool. So you're going to start the whole process over again.
Oh.
And just so you don't get lost, I'm going to send my bailiff with you. So that's like, oh, yeah, don't mess around with this judge.
Yeah, you don't want to mess around.
All right. Yeah, I'm good.
That's really
I'm good.
Not a good idea. Cool. Okay, we are now officially the longest Twitch show in history.
We did it.
Twig show in history by 20 nice. Seconds. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We do This Week in Google every Wednesday, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, in the middle of the night, Georgia time. Please stop by and join us. We'd love having you in the studio if you can. We had a studio visitor today. Email tickets at twit.tv. It's great to have you. If you can't be here in person or can watch live at twit.tv/live, if you can, do be in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. But don't worry, because you can really consume this anytime, anywhere, on demand, audio or video. Just go to twit.tv/twig and subscribe. You use, you know, your favorite podcast application you want to get every single week. Make sure you subscribe to This Week in Google. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your patience. You can all now eat because it's time to say goodbye. This Week in Google. Bye-bye.